Hey, look at that. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Let me get live here. I don't have my camera for some reason.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, we are all over the world. I know. Wow, what a glorious picture, man. Holy cow. Hey, and there's only one we have to turn sideways to, Joshua. Good to see you, man.
Oh, I got it. Don't worry.
Just stay sideways. Oh, there we go. Now we got more going sideways. We should just do the whole thing that way.
I'm my whole life.
Make sure we got everything working here. So just a quick housekeeping thing. There's a up in the upper right-hand corner of Zoom, you can either have gallery view and have everybody on, or you can hit speaker view and it'll just go full screen to the person who's on. I do record in both. Just so you know, we'll have a... Because sometimes we look at things on the... whiteboard and there's different places we want things we want to see different views. And let me find my notes just to get us organized to some extent here at the kickoff. First, hello everybody. Gosh.
Hey there.
Hey. I was going through making accountability groups and I saw are there three or four Davids in here. It got very confusing to me. Patrick, good to see you too, man. Yeah, awesome.
Dana's hiding over there. I can't get her to come over.
All right. Well, welcome to those of you here live. Welcome to those of you on the replay.
There we go.
Beautiful. I want to invite you guys to close your eyes for a second. It doesn't look like anyone's driving, but just close your eyes. I want to just welcome and begin this with a quick piece. I've started every group with that I've done probably for the last 10 years. Feedback. It might work out better. Let me just, I could mute you guys globally, or you can be responsible to mute your own on the phone at R6. On the computer, you can just click your square. Yeah, I see mute showing up. That's great. Like maybe I'll keep a mouse in your hand just to mute if we have to. Oh, yeah. Someone's on the verge.
We should be muted.
Someone's on the verge. I think I'll do
it. You should have audio.
Here, I'm going to mute everybody. There, it's nice and quiet. I'm going to mute everybody. And when it's time that you know you want to talk, you want to say something, total freedom to jump in, but this will keep it a little more listenable for everybody. Wow. Gosh, what a beautiful group. Oh, thank you. Thanks for being here. So close your eyes if you can. Not driving. I'm going to read something that takes a minute or so, but it's something that I feel is important to start every single group I do with, whether it's Showbiz Blueprint or anything else. It's called The Invitation. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. Doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you've been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or yours, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or yours, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours or mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the moon, yes! It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. Whew. Oriya, Mountain Dreamer. Beautiful piece. And with that, I'm going to come back into this group. All right. I think a couple people joined while I was reading that. Welcome. Welcome. Feel free to unmute yourselves when you really, anytime. I want this to replicate a classroom ultimately with 40, I don't know how many we have on, but ultimately, it's difficult to do that unless everybody's real conscious about muting. I would love to have this open line, and I may try that too. Just give it one more shot, just in case. You guys can mute yourself again on the phone. It's *6. On the tablet or on the computer, there's just a little box right next to your picture where you can hit mute. All right, good. Yeah, it sounds quiet. Awesome. Good, and then undo it as you'd like to jump in. So the purpose of all our Q&A calls, we'll do a little bit of just this at the top of this one, and then future ones will jump right in. But the purpose of these are for every single one of us to grow. And I said in some of the interviews that often it's easier to take notes and not be in the spotlight, having us do the work on your piece, your project, your website, your copywriting, your contracts, whatever, and just be able to observe it happening to someone else. But my gosh, take notes. Keep a very close notepad, either written or electronic, however you do that. Also, when you take a note, assign a time-bound action step to it. And what I mean by that, it's just like, yeah, I love what you just said or what they're doing on that person's website. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to have some steps done on it by noon. By noon tomorrow, whatever it is, always assign a time-bound action to it. Sure, who else is getting feedback or hearing moving from someone? Sorry, it messes up my brain. I'm just going to mute. Easier for my brain to work here and be present for you guys. Loved seeing the clean up the messes work, and you guys did videos. Raise your hand if you did a video. That was awesome. It was so good to see him. If you guys didn't do a video, I invite you to do one, to jump in and make one. Tell on yourself, clean up a mess, personal and professional, and also one thing. And I loved seeing these. One thing you're willing to let go of for these 10 weeks, because I tell you, I want you to look back on these 10 weeks as, my gosh, what did I do? Who was that person who did that? You know, it's you, but you're willing to put some things away for a while. So I want you to look back on that. Honestly, getting out of our way, getting out of a rut, getting out of some habit of how you've done something. It takes so little correction for 15 years or so from 87 to 2002. I flew small airplanes, loved it. Had my pilot's license, my instrument rating, my commercial pilot's license I got because I'm an addictive person. And what I took from that was it took so little correction. A couple degrees off leaving Los Angeles, I would never hit Las Vegas. So it's funny, the little tiny correction, things like scope, I've heard someone talk about shooting through a gun, you know, a little tiny bit off here is a couple hundred yards at the target. So really this whole idea of what we're going to give up for 10 weeks, it can be a tiny thing. I heard some people doing very big things. It can be an actual very tiny thing that you give up. So I want to invite you to look at what you're doing. And I heard a bunch of people mention they wanted to try to go off sugar for the 10 weeks. So just so happens I run this big, awesome program, and I just added this link here. Let me see if you guys can get that. This link on the module page. If that was something that you chose to do, if you were talking about doing 30 days sugar-free possibly, I just put this link on our, here it is on our board here. It's under support materials for week one, join 30 days sugar-free. This is completely unfancy, but if you just click on this is just a link we use, my partners and I, to add people to the program from the media or for free or whoever we want. This just bypasses all the pesky payment stuff. But you can jump onto that. And, you know, the benefits of that will be twofold. If indeed putting aside sugar and looking at your relationship to food over these 10 weeks, a huge step. I mean, it's a massive step. If that was one of your things, the coaching here will be excellent. It'll make it a lot easier for you. And when we come around to the passive income module around, I think it's towards the end of the program, when I take you inside of it, you'll have seen this entire program. So you'll have an intimate relationship with that, because I hold the possibility that every single person on this screen has the ability to show up bigger than any talking head in the world in any niche that they could even imagine. So I mean, I did that with writing my book in the sugar-free world, having an online program that drives people through this experience of 30 days sugar-free. And it's a passive income project for me, which is quite a dream after spending my entire life being on the road, spitting balls into the air and making jokes for a living. This is 30 days sugar-free. This will take you inside the program, that little form on the bottom of the module one page right here. Just join 30 days sugar-free. Two reasons for that. You can even eat sugar while you're watching the coaching if you want. Totally fine. I'm not stuck on that, but just wanted to offer that as a way to help you guys do that if that was one of the things you want to do. I want to talk a bit of a couple things that have come up since I'm rewatching all the modules with you. I'm going through them. I'm adding content to the module pages to update everything to this year. And you'll see that. But the passion piece is, I want to make sure that you guys are 100% passionate behind what you're selling. One of the problems we get when it becomes difficult for us to think about selling, or how are we going to sell? How can I sell my act for this? We have to be so freaking passionate about this thing that that it vibrates inside of us. We have to translate that out. So what I want to offer you is, what does it take for you to get passionate about your sale, your selling, about your audience you're selling to, about your show, to the point where it just bubbles out of you and you only want to do it to people who feel that? One of my things I always carried when I was selling Raspini Brothers was, I only want to offer this show to people and give them what I look at as an unfair advantage, almost, you know, against their audience, to have their audience captured at trade shows, to have their people walking around the trade show. I wanted to give my clients an unfair advantage over all the other booths, and that was me. So, you know, what could I do? How could I set it up in my mind when I was talking about my show that it would give the people who booked me an unfair advantage over any other conference or any other show that their audience has been to? And that's a powerful place to come from. I mean, what we offer our audience is an unfair advantage. So let's think about how we can always come at it from that place. So to get there, we have to actually almost even look at, how do we sell ourselves on what we sell? All right, it gets a little bit meta, but how do we get so excited about what we sell that it's easy, that it's natural for us to sell it? You know, I wasn't going to share this because I don't like sharing things that I've just started. I like sharing things that I've researched. Everything in Showbiz Blueprint comes from what I did for 30 plus years selling my act. But I something's happening inside of me right now that I have to it's actually so powerful that I'm going to share it. I'm only a week into it, which is stupid for me because it's a 10-month challenge for me. But I'm going to share it because I'm a week and a few days in right now. I want to offer you guys to do this right along with me, and this might be a this might be something you want to jump into in addition to this. This is a am I sharing my screen? No. This is a book called The Greatest Secret in the World, and it is it's funny. It's at its core, it's 10 scrolls. And has anyone read these, by the way? Anyone read this? Yes, you have. Oh, awesome. Gosh, I'm too far from my screen to even see who that is. Oh, Dean, awesome. Dean has read it. Awesome. That doesn't surprise me after talking to you, Dean. That's awesome. This, yeah. Did you do all 10 months?
Did I go 10 months?
Did you?
You know, I read that so long ago, probably 20 years ago, to be honest. I don't think I recall a 10-month
awesome
secret to it.
Right. Okay. So I can only talk about this because I'm fresh in it right now. I'm a week into it, but you read, he's got 10 scrolls in here and you read them. I read them. I'm doing it with my wife. We read it first thing in the morning before we look at anything else. Either we grab the book, turn on a light, or, you know, we just do it the second we wake up. One time at lunch, I'll do it after this. And then out loud before dinner. And there's 10 scrolls. You do them each one for 30 days. So I'm on day, I did start last Monday. So I'm, this is day 8. So I've read these 24 times. I actually know the first one almost by heart now. But anyway, if you guys want to jump onto this, know that it's something we'll be doing together. It's a cheap, it's a $7.99 Kindle book. And it's kicking my ass, really. I'm getting more depth out of it every single reading. So The Greatest Secret in the World, really fun. It was written during a very patriarchal time. Every time it says my fellow man, I will be a man. I always insert men and women every single time. So I modify the text for today's world of who I deal with. But I'm excited about this thing. And I rarely, if ever, talk about something before I've done it and tested it. But and I even told myself this morning I wasn't going to talk about this. But I'm just kind of bubbling. So anyway, it's something I'll add in. And I'll, kicking my butt. So I'm sticking all 10 months. I already know the ending of this thing. Was it like February? I think I'm going through February with this thing. So anyway, greatest secret in the world. And I'd love to talk to you guys about it as we go along and see how it lands for each of you. Let me see just a couple notes before we get into the Q&A part of this thing. So these calls ideally are driven by you guys. It's what comes out of the modules for each week. Of course, we can watch those and talk about them in our private group. And then this is the time where if you just say, wow, I have this idea, or I don't even know where this is going to go, or here's what you talked about on the call and I don't see how it fits. These calls are times when we have each other, we have me, we have access to screen shares, we have my history, and I will unpack literally every thought, every idea I have. I'll write copy for you. I'll show you funnels. I'll get online and research. I'll do everything. I'll introduce you to people. Whatever it is during these calls, I want these to be mostly driven by you, and I may bring one or two things to it just to set us on a good start at the very top. I want to be real careful as we go into this to not look for distractions, but look for depth in the way we talk about things, but not tangents. You know, so there are distinctions, there are different dimensions we can talk about things, but then there's also tangents. And if I feel something that's a tangent and I know we're going to be talking about it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm going to tell you that, and we probably won't go too deep into that because there is an order which all of this unwinds. Good. Yeah. Two other things I want to talk about is, and I heard this in all of our interviews, and I've already heard a little bit of it in our videos we've done in our group, our live videos. There's two different paths I want to walk you guys through this. I mentioned the fastest path to the cash and then the long game. Those are two courses we're going to go on. But two mindsets I want you to carry into this thing is, and here's how they go. And write these down because you'll ponder these over the week, over the next 10 weeks. What if I fail at my biggest dreams? And what if I succeed at my biggest dreams? I want you to feel into both those. Because they're very big. I mean, I beat out of each of you on the phone. And as I look around, as I look at this group, I can remember each biggest thing you told me that you wanted. And what if that comes true? What if you fail at it? What if you succeed at it? Who do you have to become? What might you have to give up? It's a great motivator. You know, our brains like numbers or events. You know, so to succeed at what you're here for, what would that have to be? Would it have to be an event? Would it have to be a certain show? Would it have to be a contract for a certain amount of money? I want you to get real clear on what you're drawing the line on for success for being in this group. I had so many of these going through my career, like the Tonight Show was one, you know, meeting a president, doing a show at the White House. Then when TED came along, doing a TED talk, you know, I didn't even know what TED was, but then when I heard about it, I got invited into it. And but all these things that just kept happening. So as we have this, you know, our brains love events and our brains love numbers. Those we can hang hooks on. So we can say, you know, is it for you? Is it being on America's Got Talent? Norway's Got Talent. Oh, I think the two people here have been on Norway's Got Talent who are from Norway, actually. How funny. You know, so, or is it a contract for a certain amount of money? You know, is it a $10,000 show, a $20,000 show? What is it that you'll say, my gosh, that's what it is? And from there, what will it be like if you succeed, and what will it be like if you fail? Being clear on those two will drive you towards them. There was this, I don't want to talk about that now. I'll talk about that maybe later. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about proposals and really the way to do them. And I have a funny story, and I'm going to ask someone on this call to share what happened to them, actually. For about 3 hours, if you signed up if you joined our member portal for the 2018 group, all the content was there. I didn't know that. Someone wrote to me and said, hey, all this, you know, I went ahead and I looked at week 4 or 5 or whatever, wherever that's taught, and I did this proposal. I was like, wow, where'd you find that? You know, I didn't know. Somehow on the internet, things can get out or people find things. We have it locked down fairly well, but there's, you know, smarter people than I have working for me around. He said, oh, no, it's all on the website. So I shut all that down. So anyway, the long story of that is for I don't know, an hour or two, everything was available. And he made this proposal. And part of me was like, oh, man, I hope people didn't like jump ahead and see the stuff because it's out of context and it's out of order and things all build in this program. And, you know, if you're not doing the conversational calls right, you won't do the proposals right. I worried, and then I just sort of laughed. I went, oh, well, this is amazing. This is a great lesson for me that, you know, that things get loose and it can still work and be fine. But he went ahead and did something. He made a proposal and sent it out. And it's pretty funny. So I'm going to have him actually share that story in a few minutes. But, you know, what it instilled in me was that these proposals, the way we make them, the way we start talking about our business, I mentioned a little bit of it earlier on here, you know, to give people this unfair advantage. We have to make proposals that both turn off the wrong people and keep the right people awake at night. I mean, literally, like, those are the two benchmarks. The only two things our proposals need to do is turn people off, go, who the hell is she? What? No, God, no. Or goes home and tells her spouse, you're not going to believe this conversation I got to have today with someone who's wants to come appear at our event. So those are the only two goals. Anything else is vanilla. Anything in the middle is vanilla. And I promise you, over the next 10 weeks, you will reach your expectations. Get clear on them. Get really clear on your expectations and set them high, for God's sakes. I'm promising you here that you're going to meet your expectations. Set them high. All right. That's, I think that's kind of what I wanted to get in place. Any questions on that? Any question on anything I shared so far? Just unmute yourself and go live. And if not, we'll head into the real work of these Q&As. All right, I'm going to ask Mike, can you unmute yourself and share kind of what happened when you logged in and you saw the stuff there?
Yeah.
That's Mike. He's from, you're up in, is it Toronto?
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, Toronto. Awesome.
Yeah, so I got, I logged onto the site and I didn't look at it at all, but I saw a bit. And the proposal video and it's like a PowerPoint was available, And it was on the resources, and so I found it, and I posted in the Facebook group that I had already done a phone call with somebody who asked, it was just an email, what's your price? And then I went and said, well, can we have a phone call? And then I had the phone call, and I started asking about stuff, and it kind of felt weird to be like, what do you expect everybody to feel at the event? And what's your biggest nightmare of the event? And in my mind, I'm thinking they just want to know how much, but then they didn't. And they answered and they gave me all this stuff about what they want. And then I put together a proposal according to this thing. I reached out to Barry. He freaked out because the page was open. And then he was like, that shouldn't be open. But then, and then helped me with it. And I put it through. Yeah. I put through the proposal. I did the, it's basically like you have a PowerPoint, a 2.5-minute PowerPoint video of you talking through the points in the show. And the price, the whole idea, what I was asking about is how's the price become a line item when that's all they wanted to know? But it's just, you talk about what their challenge is. You know, they've always had musicians and they've never had a variety act. We're interested in something new. We found out about you from the Halifax Busker Fest. And so I just put in a whole lot of stuff about that and how I was going to make it way different and expect the biggest crowds. And then there was one slide in there. It's like, what do I need from you? A good amplifier, a good sound system, a lot of space, performance fees, $5,000. I'm going to need some accommodation on the Saturday. And then just moved on. Anyways, so far they got back to me and said, thank you for putting all this together. We'll be having a meeting and we'll get back to you. So that's the highest I quoted. I just quoted a big number just to see for the sake of the program. Let's see if we can do it.
Dude.
But yeah.
I so love it. Hey, yeah. Can I share that video? Do you mind?
Yeah, sure. Go for it. Awesome. Yeah.
This will be a jump ahead, and I'll tell you guys, this will be so you will learn one thing about me. The bottom line is that I never question my intuition. I mean, my gut intelligence has gotten me everywhere in my life. From the time a high school guidance counselor promised me I'd be broke and homeless if I tried to become a juggler. And I've never second guessed it. So even though we don't even talk about proposals, I think it's 2 more weeks. I think it's in week 3. We dig deep into those. I want to show you what Mike did, man, with no training and just kind of jumped in.
Here, actually, I'll give you the, because I did another one after that, of course, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist myself, but I'll send that one.
I think I have the two you sent me. I mean, did you do a third?
I probably did. I recorded this thing so many times. It was so awkward to say it and talk about my show and all this, but it ended up working, I think, so. Here, I'll just quickly send this one over to you.
Okay. This is funny because I'm putting. I'm just going to show you our common thread here, kind of where this happened. Goop knows it's a fun experiment. In any case. Oh, so then you wrote final draft. I decided to put the price in because it felt weird to just leave it out, like I was afraid to tell them or something. Great. And you know, I will always tell you guys that the most important thing is that you follow your instinct in this thing. I mean, your instinct got you here. The conversation we had where I probably tried to talk you out of even doing this class, you said, I'm staying in here, and did it. And so Mike just said, hey, it feels right to me to put the price in. Wonderful. That's when I say, go ahead and do that. Let me see if we can.
There you go. I just sent you.
Oh, you sent me a new one?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay, great. This is great. Yeah. I'll play this one. I'm going to put my mic here. I'm not sure if the audio will come out. But,
Charlottetown, meet Mighty Mike. Hello. I'm so glad you reached out to me to perform at the annual Natal Day celebration on June 10th, 2018. After a phone call with Charlotte, I learned it's the 163rd birthday of Charlottetown. We expect approximately 2,000 people at the event, and it is a long-running event, but previously you've usually hired musicians, which is why this year you're looking for something a little different. That's where I come in. As you know, I'm the People's Choice Award winner at the Halifax Busker Festival in 2017. I've been trained in a line of strongmen from the Mighty Adam, Slim the Hammerman, Dennis Rogers, to myself. At your event, I'm going to engage the audience with my family-friendly comedy and interactive show. I can build and hold a huge crowd, and as well I'm able to adapt to any venue or sound issues that might come up. And most importantly, I can perform in the rain or can move indoors if we need to. Here are some photos of my show from around the world. I get big crowds, expect crowds just like this, except they'll be at home in Charlottetown. Laughter, they say, is the best medicine. I believe when we laugh together, we connect together. My strongman show connects us to history because you'll be seeing feats of strength that you might have seen 163 years ago. I have a message in my show that nothing's impossible, and you'll believe that when you see some of the stuff I'm able to do. And as well, I'm going to print out and bring these signed posters with the sponsors' logos on there. Let me tell you, the sponsors absolutely love this. I'm going to need an amplification system for my headset mic and iPod. I can plug into any system. I need a big space on stage. Trust me, the musicians don't want me swinging my sledgehammer around their instruments either. And expect a bigger than usual space for a crowd. Performance fee is $5,000. That's my weekend rate. As well, I'm going to need accommodation on Saturday, June 9th. Charlottetown, you deserve the best. I've performed at hundreds of events all over the world, have repeat bookings at municipalities just like yours all across Canada. And as you know, I'm the People's Choice Award winner in Halifax 2017 and soon to be in 2018, because I'm going to come back and take the title again. I can't wait for you to see my show. I hope this gave you all the information you need and look forward to seeing you on June 10th.
Yeah. That's
great. Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
So someone calls for a price. They have a 15-minute conversation with him. Price never comes up. And then they get that. Is it a different world, Mike?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's funny because they brought up these ideas that I wouldn't have put in my proposal before, but they're really worried about the rain. So I wouldn't have known to say that,
right,
look, I can do a show in the rain. And I happen to have a photo somebody took of me doing a show in the rain, so I could demonstrate I could do it in the rain. And they have this thing about 163rd. It's all about the 163rd anniversary, historical. So I kept kind of putting that in there.
And, right, tricks that strongmen actually did 163 years ago. You got to say that. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
You, yeah, it's funny. I took a good look at that, the version you sent me before that. And I saw some things that I thought, wow, those are really good. And those weren't even in the samples that I gave of how to teach us and the template I showed. You totally upgraded the template, because I never did fancy templates. You guys will see in a couple of weeks when this comes out. Mine are like a fourth grader wrote them. You know, they're just solid background colors with text on top. And the truth is, for all the decades I did that, in different forms and doing them by mail, even a long time ago, it never mattered. It was never about the fanciness. It was how much conversation I had, how the conversation went. The great saying that an alumni of our group often says, he says, he who talks the most leaves with the product. So on that 15-minute call, you got to let that person talk all you want. And then you just got to lay out a proposition, an opportunity for them that they never even imagined. So I have no doubt you'll land that gig. I mean, it's you would have to have done something really wrong at this point to not do that. One of the things, and I should just add, I mean, one of the things that I did with Mike when this all came up, when the thing came up that he saw it, I said, all right, well, if you've seen that, I don't want you to screw it up. So we jumped on a live meeting for probably a half hour and just kind of went through the details of it and like really went to peg. And that's where we came up with the idea of, if you're going to talk about a price that's much higher than they're used to paying, give them ways to pay for it. And that's when you thought about, oh, let's put the sponsor, let's do this thing where we put the sponsors right on the thing and let's tell them, you know, I can highlight your sponsors, you know, have their name on the big hammer I'm using to hit the nail up my nose or whatever. You know, just like all of us will do with our hammers.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, can I ask a question?
Yeah, jump in.
Yeah, Mike, when you had the 15-minute conversation with the client, did they ask for the video, or you just send it to them, or how did that transpire where you went from the conversation to sending the video without giving a price, without getting a price from in the conversation?
Yeah, no, I mean, I almost use this as an experiment. It's like a busy weekend, a festival weekend. So I was kind of like, I don't really care if I lose the gig. It's just, let's do an experiment for the group. And I was like, I'm not going to mention the price. I'm like so committed. And I just went into it, absolutely nothing, questions only. And if they were going to ask the price, I was going to say, well, no, I need to make sure we're a good fit before we get into that. Just, I wanted to ignore it. She actually didn't end up asking. When I started asking the questions, she just, you know, oh, he's done this before. Let's answer all his questions. And it put her back. I'd say, so what excites you the most about having me at the event?
Right.
And then just wait. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe the historical or because, you know, she had to come, yeah, qualify herself to me. And then,
right.
And as I'm taking all the notes, she's explaining how, what she wanted to hear in the presentation. I said, I'll put something together and we'll be in touch.
That was the line. I'll put something together. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Cause I've made the mistake of like when I do church shows, when pastors will ask me, what's your price? And I'll immediately say, if I told you, it'll scare you. And a lot of times I don't get, I haven't gotten a lot of those gigs, but I try to work with them. The whole purpose of saying that was, if I try to work with churches where I'll do a love offering, where I'll come in, you promote the show, and we'll take up an offering at the end of the show, and that's my pay, and that'll cover me. But a lot of times that doesn't work out. I like how you went about it.
Well, it was in the early Facebook things too, where Barry put out the videos of what we should do. And it's that he said something there. He's like, if you say a price that's too low or too high, from then on, the conversation in their mind is useless. And they're just thinking, oh, he's too low or he's too high. And no matter what you say, it's like birthday party clown or out of my budget. They're just like,
right. Well,
you know, and you have this kind of like, you just do the little small fares or you're an actual way too big. So just, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Awesome. Great job. Yeah. Anyway, that was one of those great surprises that caught me off guard at the beginning of this thing. And I said, you know, what the heck? Let's just run with it and let's make it, you know, the best it could be. So congratulations. And boy, man, keep the group posted on that thing. It's not going to be a question of if they want you. It's going to be, can they get you now, which is a great positioning change. You know, and you said something a minute ago. You said, you know, I'm almost making her qualify herself for me, which it's a wonderful place to be coming from. And we can all turn the table on our prospects to that way. And that's what dies when someone says, what's your price? It's like instantly they stick some terrible number on your shirt on one of those name labels. And that's how you're treated from then on. So, we always look towards, and this is a bit of a tangent. I should catch myself. We'll come back to this more, but let me just tell you, we don't mention price on the phone. And if they insist on it, they're not a fit. And the line I always have used that if price is your number one concern, I promise you we're not a match. And I can recommend you to some people who are. What's your budget? And they say, $1,000. You go, okay, great. Here I have some people that, and it's not me. And you know, main thing we have to look at is conserving the number one commodity we have, which is our time. You know, that's really all we have. And wasting it on clients, prospects that aren't going to be clients. Best thing we can do is be, you know, greet them with love in our heart, the way that the greatest secret in the world talks about in the first scroll. That's what we can greet them with. What can I do to help you get what you need? I'm not the right person. And, you know, here's five people who are. So, and none of those people are ever Showbiz Blueprint people. I never tell them cheap people, but I always tell them Showbiz Blueprint people that happen to be in a different price range. And I love doing that. So, all right, good.
I have a question about that real quick.
Jump in. Yeah.
So we never, I read this book by JC Soom or some, the Showbiz Master Plan. In it, he says he never over the phone tells the price, which sounds like this. It agrees with this.
Oh, nice. I know that book. I never read it though.
Yeah, it's a good book. The question, what's your price? The answer may be, I'll put something together and we'll be in touch.
Well,
price is your number one concern, I promise you we're not a match.
Yeah.
You have to ask what the price is.
John, we're going to go so deep into this. It's going to make you dizzy. And I want to handle the stuff that comes in week two sure. and week three first, because it'll stack up to really have it all make sense. But honestly, like Mike did, you know, what Mike found out is people hate talking about price, but it's this thing that somehow we've become accustomed that has almost become acceptable to just kind of say, so that we can get that piece out of the way and everyone can assume their place in the hierarchy. And the bigger picture is, if we give people the opportunity to talk about their event, like Mike said, it sounds so uncomfortable, but man, I never had a problem asking people, what do you want your attendees to feel before, during, and after our performance? It's like, before, they're going to be a little restless. You know, during, I want them just to laugh their asses off. And afterwards, I want them to use that as a gold standard for next year. Now we have something to talk about that isn't based on price. You know, then I can say, oh, let me put something together. You know, may or may not be us. I don't even know, you know, I don't even know if we're right for you guys right now. So interesting. Good. Anyway, we'll,
thanks.
We will circle back around to that and drill so deep. Well, it may hit one of the four places on earth that you can drill through and hit land. Yeah, that'll be good. All right, good. What, any other questions about that? Do we just want to applaud for Mike? Just saying, dude, way to get in there. Way to kick ass. Way to do something good, man. You got a lot of energy behind you. I want you to nail that thing. All right. So I gave these challenges this week to look at places where we overlap our passions, our experience, our education in life, personal experience with our skills as a performer. And that sweet spot in the middle is quite possibly the lowest hanging fruit next to hitting up past clients with new offers, and which we will look about, I believe, in week two. We dig into that a little bit. But as far as new markets, being able to put yourself on the map almost instantly with a show that was just so unexpected 3 weeks ago, it's one of the biggest ways. And I love some of the stuff you guys shared, and some of you wrote in the group there about what came up for you during that exercise. Is there anyone who would like to do something live? Kind of just say, hey, you know, here's something I wrote that I'm a burning passion for. In fact, I know Sarah is, you know, she wrote in the group that she left Faneuil Hall this morning frustrated and went back and found this thing. So is that something you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I would love to. It's really funny. So I put that video, I went to go do street shows and it was cold. I couldn't do a show. I was just so frustrated. But also it's a great reminder of why I'm doing this course, because I want more than that. So I went back to the brainstorming exercise, and kind of in the same way you get lost in YouTube, I got lost kind of just on these tangents online, and I found the Massachusetts, which is where I live in Boston, their women's conference is in December. And they're accepting applications till May 1st for speakers. And so I got really excited then. And then that gave me a bunch of ideas. But one of the first things I noticed is, one, it clearly states, like, we cannot pay you. If you want to get paid, don't even apply. Which good. I thought, you know, is fine. But maybe I started looking at their sponsors. I was like, maybe I could get their sponsors to pay for me to perform. And I speak for free, and I found some overlap in their sponsors to things I do. Reebok is a sponsor, and they also sponsor CrossFit, and I'm a CrossFit athlete. There's a company called Akamai, which is a Hawaiian word for clever, and my show is the Flying Hawaiian Show.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's so funny. So I'm like starting to fill out this application. It's going great. And then it says, give us a bio and give us three things you normally talk about. And I just froze, because I was like, okay, I have a circus bio that I could tweak a little bit. Three things I usually speak about. I usually speak about how I'm going to climb this coconut tree, and I definitely don't want to do that there. So I got super stuck and could use some help there.
Awesome. Okay. Oh man, that's so good. So you guys can take a look at the video Sarah did earlier, which was awesome. You know, just a raw heart. You know, the textbook lemons into lemonade situation. And I was really proud of you for going home and doing that. I even wrote a comment afterwards. I go, who would have thought the cold weather at Faneuil Hall would be such a good thing? But it's just, there's alchemy that goes on right now when you open these doors in your life. And I'll just leave it at that, and let's dig into this thing. So here's the application. I just came across this Massachusetts. You know, the number one thing you need to do, and it's, you know, what I love so much about what you just said is, three things I talk about. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what they are right now. Wonderful. That means you don't have to divorce yourself from anything that you're stuck on. You know, it's just like you're wide open right now. So, and we could all be this way with it. But take a look at this. If you come down here, where are my glasses? Where are my damn glasses? All right. In fact, I'll make this text a little bigger. I think it'll make it easier for you guys to see also. And you can grab this link as well in your, in the group if you want. Actually, I could barely, you can probably just share it on the chat as if you want as well, share it, Sarah, that'd be great.
Okay.
So this is this proposal, but let's look at this piece right here, Become a Speaker Program Conference Center. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna be doing this right now with this challenge I just gave you guys to look for where things overlap in your life and your experience, your education, anything really, something you've loved all your life, something you did as a kid, something that's in your family history, doesn't matter. But anyone who's putting on a conference, look, they're gonna be getting this this 2018, December 6, 2018, great lead time for one thing. This Massachusetts Women's Conference for Women is gonna be getting proposals for speakers from talking heads until they come out the yazoo. The people are gonna start going blind reading them all. You know, I talk about this, I talk about this. The only thing that's gonna change is the names. And along comes this incredible offer from, you know, from a magician, from someone who climbs a coconut tree and talks about getting higher in life. You know, and we'll talk about, I'll give you your three topics to talk about in a second. We'll just make them up. But, you know, or if I look around here, someone who teaches languages to kids in other worlds, you know, raise your hand when I'm talking about you. You know, it's just great. It's like any of us can show up and do things that are unbelievable. You know, someone who lives in Hollywood and has done shows for, you know, celebrities going back to the old, you know, the old days. What are those stories? And how could those lay on top of a conference you're having? Someone who's a, gosh, I'm forgetting, totally blanking out on Greg, but you have a job that's awesome. Is it an ad? No, it's an architecture? No, what?
No, I do graphic design for
graphic design. Right.
Trial consulting.
Right, but being able to talk about graphic design at a graphic design conference or something and bringing layering magic on top of it. Every single person here has some connection to a past that it's going to look so different on an application that these people won't even know where it's coming from. So let's dig into Sarah's piece here. So this is the 2017 conference, the 2018. Okay, so they still have all their 2017 stuff up, right? But they get become speaker. Am I on the wrong one or something?
No, oh, that looks right.
Okay, yeah, okay. The rest of the site is for the 2017, but this is the proposal for the 2018. Okay. Now, when I come into something like, okay, good, here's this. You know, and a great tip for these things, Sarah, and I'll just say this to everybody. I've made this mistake myself so many times. When you have a form like this to fill out online, do it offline because sometimes these pages refresh and you lose all this amazing writing you've done. So please don't ever make the, don't fill out this form right here that you're looking for. This is for copying and pasting into, not for writing. Okay. I can't tell you how many times I've lost stuff and it's never created as well the second time. Okay. So here we are on this piece right here. If there are somebody's names in here, the first thing I would do is head over to LinkedIn and connect with them on LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn.
Be in touch directly by August 1st. If we'd like to invite you to join us this year, you'll be invited to this. You're going to be so different than anyone else on this thing. Let's take a look at the, anyone who's doing one of these things is going to do exactly what we're doing right here for Sarah. So you're going to come here and just get familiar with what they do every year. So right away you can tell it's a couple day, full day schedule. It's one day. Oh, it's just a one day conference.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's breakout sessions. I mean, right away you know that. So we don't know how many there are. We hit the little plus sign. And here's all these breakout sessions. And we can get an idea of what they're talking about. Closing the gap. So that's... climbing the ladder, shattering the glass ceiling. We're just going to start gathering loose information right here. How to get big things done. Aspiring leaders. Looking to climb the ladder, you know? So I start highlighting things about right here. This is not hard for you to connect these dots for them because, you know, they're not going to connect them. You have to connect them for them. So this is powerful. You know, connect with Erica Dawan, you know, just start tracking her on LinkedIn just to see what did she talk about last year? How did it go over? Connecting with them. And in the connection note on LinkedIn, you just simply write, hey, Erica, I'm looking at the Massachusetts Conference for Women. I saw you spoke last year. Would love to talk to you for a few minutes about it. And boy, just to connect in with people like this. Okay, get paid, negotiate with courage, and get what you deserve. This is great. So this is a business angle. So you can see these different tracks they're on. I think they even listed the tracks up here at the very top, right?
Yeah. Can I ask a quick side question?
Please.
I have never used LinkedIn. I don't really, it's never seemed like something that was for me.
Yeah.
You know, as a performer.
As a performer, so. I get it. So my quick word on LinkedIn, besides we're going to have the most amazing guy who's written best-selling books on LinkedIn and Twitter, he's going to be on faculty here. I think it's in week 6 or 7. He comes on and talks to us, and he'll blow your mind. He'll be on a session like this and work with us live on our profiles and get ours tuned up. But for now, set it up. Set up your LinkedIn for who you, not who you are right now, but who you're aiming to be. All right, so yours wouldn't have anything about graphic design. Yes, it may have that history, your work history, wonderful. But really, who's the special event magician you want to be, you know, in New York City? Who's, you know, how do you, that's what we do. And I'll share mine during that. You guys can go onto LinkedIn and look at Barry Friedman, see what I'm doing. I mean, mine is all about being the ultimate podcast guest for selling my book, for getting people to read my book, for going into my into my funnel for my program.
Can I ask a question, Barry?
Yeah, please. 1 second. I'll just finish this up and you're up next. But that's what I always would do. So for now, get your LinkedIn profile set up for who you want to be. Ted will come on here and tear it apart and make it perfect. But make it that and start connecting with people in your area. People who are either in government, in business, regional politics, whatever. Those are the people that you want to start sending invitations to because they're going to be pretty excited to have the likes of you in their world. All right. Who is that? Was that Tim? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You might remember I have three markets. I'm doing schools and churches. And yeah. But you and I talked about focusing on one area for these 10 weeks. And so that was kind of getting my corporate show back up and running, which has kind of fallen by the wayside. So right now there's not even a website. I'm kind of hoping to use this 10 weeks to rebrand myself and, you know, get up and running. So taking that step with LinkedIn, would I only be talking about corporate stuff on there? Is that?
That's it. Set it up for that, for whatever you have. And even if you don't have a website right now, every single thing we're building, and this applies to so many people on here, everything that we're going to build in this social network on LinkedIn, we're going to really do about who we're becoming. And yeah, you know, they want to see work history and you want to put that on there and that's great. But really what gets looked at is what's on the top banner. And then the first couple lines of your bio.
Yeah. Are we going to be talking at all about branding or does this course kind of assume that we already have that all together already?
Oh my gosh. This course assumes we know nothing about branding. I have the best, this lady from Boston, Carrie Ann, who's done so much for me and other alumni. I showed her on one of the webinars I did before this, but yes. Oh my gosh, what an amazing person to have. And she'll spend a couple hours with us digging through everybody's stuff. So you'll get a real good picture of it.
All right. I was just kind of afraid like, oh my gosh, we haven't figured out the how yet, but is he going to want me in week one to start reaching out to people? And I don't even have anything to show him yet.
Nope.
Okay.
Don't, yeah. Don't start doing that. We're not doing that, but I'll give you some examples of that when that time comes. But for now, if you do nothing but just go on and set up your free LinkedIn account, play around with your profile, bear in mind that we really want to do this about who we're becoming, not who we're moving away from.
Great, thanks.
Hey, Barry, can I ask a question?
Yep.
I think it was me. You know, I have a LinkedIn profile already for my other job that I do that I like. And are you suggesting doing two different LinkedIn profiles or trying to modify the one that I already have?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Patrick, man, because, you know, you're – Patrick, some of you guys don't know, dude's a big-ass lawyer, you know, big-time dude. I mean, with a law practice and a law, you know, everything's law. And that's an interesting one. We have a little work to do with you. You know, I'll just put it. Yeah, it's not the first time in your life you've heard that. I know.
Yeah, Zena's laughing like crazy right now. She's off camera.
We got some work to do with you. Yeah, yeah, and I'll cover that. But it's funny. I shifted mine away from being Raspini brother to being looking for an expert guest who ignites. Oh, I'll just share this with you real quick. And this is what I turned mine into when I really started talking about my book and talking about a sugar-free lifestyle and doing this. It's different. And I called it right up front in my bio here, you know, gears have shifted for the second half of my life. Yeah. A lot of authority in showing that. So you're going to do something that kind of shows gear shifting and you adding in a new piece of this. And it's going to be interesting to watch kind of, Patrick, for you, you know, how much of your life this is going to get versus how much the law still occupies.
Everything's up for discussion.
Things are up for discussion. Yeah, jury's still out, so we'll see how that goes. But it's going to be a good one, and there's a way to gracefully do the transition. I've done it. I've walked it with you, and it'll be interesting to hear what Ted does with it right now. Is your LinkedIn now, are you active on it with a following of law people?
It's hilarious. Both on LinkedIn and Facebook, about half of our connections are entertainment folks, and the other half of our connections are lawyers and other legal professionals. And especially on Facebook, trying to watch the two different groups of people interact with each other is hilarious.
Right.
We just kind of step back and watch. My Zena was very involved in body painting, and we have a joint Facebook account, and there's a big face painting convention called FABIC where there's a bunch of half-naked people painted. And whenever that convention comes around, that's when I get all the requests from lawyers. You got any more pictures?
Oh, interesting.
It's hilarious. But right now, everything's kind of evenly split. I think we're having more legal people now than probably entertainers, but there's still a bunch of both.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we can do this. We can move it well. So it'll be good to watch. And I don't know for sure that it's going to have to play a big part in your business. I mean, the stuff that we talked about you doing, it's going to probably be more recommendation based, more first person handshake introduction. So we may be able to keep your profile LinkedIn clean of any of the underbelly of your magical world.
I don't mind if it has it.
All right.
That's one of the things that really helped me with the legal business. I was the guy who used to be a magician, and that really helped me to set up a legal practice. It's hilarious.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, the same way that I'm talking to Sarah about how we differentiate ourselves, how you're going to look so different than any of the other applicants. It's like, yeah, you know, unique selling propositions are very good. They're important. So it'll be good for your magic that you're a lawyer, and it may help, you know, the law career as it already has, that you have that magician piece. So it's wonderful. Hey, let me ask a question here. Well, there's a moment of silence. Did anyone go completely flat? Like, what the hell is he talking about when I was talking about this kind of looking at our lives and looking at this low hanging fruit piece where we could overlap our skills as a entertainer with our experience in the other world? Did anyone just have nothing before we attack Sarah's piece? Yeah, no hands moving, man. And I love the ones that I saw listed on there. Gosh, so much. It's funny how people, just seeing how you guys came alive when you talked about these other things. And who, I mean, a couple people did things I never saw, which got me so damn excited for this group and the way you guys are playing. It was like, you know, the bubble charts and the connections and the dots and the lines and the arrows pointing to where could go what. Yeah, that's amazing. So that's the kind of thing we want to do. And
about it, could I? Yeah, I would like to say something. Yeah, hi, here, Hans.
Hey, Hans.
I didn't come short of nothing, but I always, you know, Mom, I have this story from my home. I wrote it in. My mom always said that she's been a teacher her whole life, and she always told me, the worst thing you hear is somebody who is 20 years old and say they have experience, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been a full-time professional. I started doing magic at 17, but I've done it full-time since I was 20. And I've done martial arts for 25 years. I love to run. I play volleyball in the second division in Norway. I do telemark skiing, which is quite, like, weird. But I still, you know, I don't feel like an expert that I could offer anything magical-wise in any of these areas.
Awesome. We're coming around to you next because you're so damn rich. Oh my God. It's so funny. I mean, there's Explore, there's these outdoor conferences, there's adventures, travel. I mean, there's money in those things. So yeah, I mean, this is a guy, Hans, he told me, He goes, the hardest part of this program is for me to be when I don't have a gig for 10 days. I usually jump on a plane and go to Kenya or, you know, Australia, or just go somewhere to do some adventure. So, yeah, that piece of it. And I knew you even talked in our interview about how you've used magic in those places to connect you with people even faster. So, hey, man, there's a, you're not a problem. You're not the problem. So we'll come around to you in a second. But let's dig into Sarah's.
I have a question real quick, Barry.
Yeah, please jump in.
As far as LinkedIn is concerned, I cleaned out my LinkedIn profile of basically all people in the entertainment industry. How do you feel about having people that are in the same industry as part of your contacts in LinkedIn?
Yeah. You know, I do it because of this work, because of the Showbiz Blueprint stuff.
Right.
But typically I wouldn't do it. It's not Facebook. It's not a.
But even with Facebook, for example, if people go down your profile and should there be a totally clean profile without, because I have two profiles on Facebook, and unfortunately Facebook connects the two. So if you're my friend on one, you see that I have a completely different profile, and I wanted to keep those absolutely separate. And I think that Facebook shares too much of that information with people.
Yeah, I think that would be hard. I've never worried about it on Facebook. I mean, I have producers, I have clients who are friends, I have all my, you know, my circus people friends. It's a catch-all. Honestly, David, it's not the big thing. In LinkedIn, you don't need anyone in your professional network, and that's really the way to think of LinkedIn as a professional network.
Right.
Ted will get into that more deeply, but, you know, it's no offense. I have a lot of entertainers because of the work I do here, but you don't need that. And you don't need over 500. That's the highest number they show. You know, if you have 70 amazing connections on LinkedIn who are people in your region or people in your industry or someone you connected to who has a big network, that's great. It's not a numbers game. So,
right. Understood. But I just, basically the question was like, because Patrick was talking about, I have people in once I have the law people and then I have the other people. So for example, let's say in Patrick's situation, if he wanted to market his services to the law niche, for example, then he wouldn't want to have anybody that's involved in any variety art or any of his particular, for example, what he's going to provide to his industry. You don't want those people on your LinkedIn profile or your friends or contacts. To just, you know, when people look at it, all they see is law contacts, and that theoretically legitimizes you in the eyes of those professionals that are looking at your profile on LinkedIn.
Right. So in a way we could worry about this stuff, but in another way we're solving a problem that doesn't exist.
Okay.
You know, well. Let's keep it clean. You know, let's just you don't need friends on your, you don't need other performers, friends on your LinkedIn. And if a couple get in, it's a problem that doesn't exist. It's a,
okay.
Yeah.
Very well.
Especially the way we run it in Showbiz Blueprint, which is, you know, basically an outbound marketing training course. It's
understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Awesome. Good. So let's take a look. Let's jump into a little bit of direct writing content creation here for Sarah on this thing, because she said she got to these three. Find these. I got to too many. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. So right here. So looking through this thing, Sarah, there's going to be a place for you. Here's where I might really, really look at this. 8:15 to 8:30. They probably have a keynote and they probably got some big speaker. The place I had some of the most fun at conferences, and I've done this all over the world. I've been flown places for 6-minute shows more times than I could ever remember. One of my favorite was I flew a bunch of us, Penn and Teller, Raspini's, Kevin James. When we were all out there, it was this big FedEx conference in Puerto Rico, and we each did 4 to 6 minutes. Like Penn and Teller did 6 minutes and we did 4. So, but very fun, but it's at the very top of something exactly like this. It's these opening keynote, these opening sessions, you know, when they have everybody in the room, because once this breakout session starts, the way corporate meetings work, and I'll just do a 101 here for people who don't know this whole market, but there are things called opening keynote sessions, what are they called? General sessions. Those are just where everyone at the whole conference is in one room at one time. And they'll always be for these keynotes and general sessions, things like that, award banquets, dinners, things like that. You're going to get most of the people. So that's where we always look for laying our stuff on top of. Would before these Adam's probably not a woman, but before these five women and one man go up and each do their, what is that? That's 75 minutes divided by six. So they each do probably like a 10 or 12 minute piece. Would it be incredible to have Sarah come up and talk about climbing, talk about being on top, getting above all the negative beliefs, doing the impossible, you know, any of these things that you demonstrate in your show so beautifully? Would a 4 or 5 minute opening to this? And who cares if there's any money when you're at something like this? I mean, I've been at events like this. I would pay to be there. I did like the American Pharmaceutical Conference for 1,000 pharmacists, which led to 10 years of work in the pharmaceutical industry. But, you know, they also happen to pay, but it didn't matter when you're in front of the right group. Pretty powerful. So that's what I would aim for on this thing, is aiming it directly. So we come up with these 3 points on their, let me open this thing in a different tab here. So we open this one up, and you got all this other stuff filled out, blah, blah, blah. Name, title. What title did you give yourself? A good one?
I left that. I don't know yet.
Superhero.
Superhero. Coconut.
Yeah, cheese. Man. And you can put frickin' in front of it if you want, but just, you know, world rocker, you know, it's just, yeah, we can work on one series for that, but you got your biography, which is great. But then down here on these topics to speak on, and aren't like coconut trees, aren't they like sharp when you're climbing them? I mean, yours probably isn't, but is that the image?
Mine is basically a Chinese pole covered in gold with felt leaves that I made myself that stick out, and it's held by 4 volunteers on ropes.
My face wasn't on screen when my jaw fell, but yeah, that sounds amazing. So, I mean, that's awesome, and it's really powerful. So that is leveraging the power. Of colleagues. I mean, so that's what I would talk about, that second one, because that works perfectly into your point. And then what do you do when you're on top of this tree? Do you get up there and then does something, another miracle take place?
Yeah, I do a few, 1 hula hoop tricks, then 2 hula hoop tricks. And then I balance on one leg and spin a hula hoop on my extended leg. And then I have 2 on each hand in split time. And right. Then I pull to hurry up and take a picture.
Right. Okay. So like that one becomes,
keeping balanced once you're at the top.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you can turn these 4. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, and what you're going to pitch in your proposal for these people, and you got some time. You got a little bit of time, so we should probably get this going. But yeah, what you're going to pitch is literally taking these 4 steps, being at the very top of this opening thing. When the second people sit down and start, this comes out with a bang, it blows up, and the rest of the morning, that's the picture we have to paint for the organizers of this, is the opportunity that exists for transforming their event from how it's always been to how it will always be from here forward. Like we're never gonna have just some talking head walk out with this textbook corporate music and the lights playing. It's like, that doesn't exist anymore, because when you're doing that, 90% of your audience is gonna be staring at this thing, because they already know what to expect. So
that's a great idea. I honestly didn't even think big enough to try and be one of the keynote speakers, but that's a great idea, just to come on and open the show, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, it may not be like one of the keynotes. You can use it as your one of the keynotes, but honestly, it's a grant. It's a general session kickoff, you know, which is a top, which is a real textbook position we aim for in our industry. Like, what can we do to kick off this general session in a way that's never been kicked off before?
What did you call that?
General session kickoff.
Oh.
Hey, Barry.
Yep.
I think it said on the thing, not accepting things for keynotes, but that wouldn't stop her from still proposing this because this is kind of like outside of the keynote kicking it off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Was that on here?
Somewhere it was on there. Yeah, I think so, but.
Right. It's probably is on here because they handpick.
They got their keynotes, yeah.
But that's great.
She's setting the tone.
Completely. Because, you know, keynote speakers are handpicked. And once you do this kind of thing, you'll get handpicked. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But you have to kind of, position ourselves as, you know, ready, able, and offering something that's so big. It's what I talked about at the beginning, you know, the passion for this piece is so big that this is the unfair advantage that I mentioned at the top.
Oh, hey, Barry.
This is the unfair advantage.
I got a question.
Jump in. Who's that? Where?
So you had mentioned before, how do you know whether to charge money or do it for free? Because if it's for free and you're in front of a lot of different people who could hire you later, then what's the balance with that?
Yeah. You know, I do at this building point, like where Sarah's at, we're looking to get from Faneuil Hall to indoors. It's like, Sarah, I'm going to encourage you to bang out Faneuil Hall, double down on, you know, what you make there so that you can appear at these things like this once a month, you know, and just like regularly get in front of people who can change your life. You know, if it's something where, you know, it's just an event that you should be paid for, hell no, we don't do those for free. But I mean, this is a radical opportunity. So we look at where we are. And then kind of where we, you know, what we can get from it besides money. I mean, Don's up there on the top row who did this most amazing thing with a symphony. My jaw was on the floor when I was watching what she got herself into with doing beautiful juggling along with, what symphony was that? Oh, sorry, muted.
That's the Kingston Symphony in like mid-Ontario between Toronto, Montreal.
Gotcha. But yeah, I mean, so you did this amazing thing. Yeah, they paid you. But as you said, you know, all the money went back into the program for that thing. But what it did was it opened a door that would have never been opened. And now you have this product you can actually, which we're going to work on in this program, is offering this to symphonies around the world where, you know, their subscribers are dying, literally just going, my gosh, not another season where everything is just, you know, what I expect. So yeah, that was a huge payment that wasn't, you know, it had some money in it, but honestly, it's the payoff was so much bigger than that one. So yeah, well, let's always compare what we're getting, what we can get from this. And something Sarah does, Sarah, you can, the things you can negotiate, and I'll grab you in a second, Greg, the things you can negotiate into this appearance once you get it, it's, you know, like a solo ad in their book, a special thanks for, possibly something in an email that goes out to them in a post-conference with your information in it. An interview with you because people aren't going to really get to know you, but your speech is going to be so impactful to them, and it's going to set the stage for what, you know, these other six talking heads on here are going to be talking about. So yeah.
Cool. I'm already so excited.
Awesome. Did you grab a picture of those, or do you have those ones we wrote there?
Huh. I got I wrote them all down.
Okay. Perfect.
She would also want to negotiate getting video from the conference too, right?
Oh my gosh. Thank you for mentioning the obvious because I'm an idiot. Yeah. I mean, video from that is, that's probably the biggest thing you can come away with this, you know, with their nice logos in the background. Never feel that you can't during these calls, slap me and say, hey, beginner's mind stuff. Yeah. Video. It's funny. This is one of those things I always think about. You know, one of these power hacks I'll give you guys right now is I always have these, oh gosh, they're right in the other room in my closet. I don't want to go get them now, but they were these little GoPros, but they were like $49 each and you can still get them. They're HD cameras and I just mounted them on little squeeze clamps. I don't have one here, shoot. Oh yeah, these clamps. I just put a bolt right through the bottom of, you know, something like this. And the camera's mounted right here. So I just squeeze that thing onto anything. But I had four of these going most shows. that I would did one behind the stage, so it got the back of my head out to the audience, stage left and right, and one just somewhere in the audience. And there's a phone app that boom, you hit it, and they all four start at once. You come out of every single. So I was always into that, because really a little clip of video, a little 10-second clip of video with a great lead in and a nice voiceover can book you hundreds of thousands of dollars of work. It's about capturing those moments. So yeah, I'll share the link for those little cameras. Although I bought mine years ago, there's probably $29 now, and they're even better. I think I looked up FoPro camera. That was the nickname they were always offering under. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, sideshow folks were just in the Metropolitan Opera doing sword swallowing and contortion. So that's kind of like in the zeitgeist right now for Dawn. Like variety acts performing in like higher, you know, higher art.
Yeah.
People. And it was very successful. People loved it.
And she's higher art. Man, I was bragging about your behind the head move with not once, but three times in a row to a juggler the other day I was talking to. I was like, for some reason, after the miracle, it worked once. You went for two more and nailed them. So I was like, yeah, that was really cool.
It's exciting. And like that's possible at all. The whole symphony thing. I'm very excited to get that on the road.
Awesome. Here, I have another question.
Yeah, very good.
When we talked on our initial phone call, you said, there's a lot of conferences in Chicago that wouldn't even look at you if you weren't, you know, less than 5,500 or whatever the number was. So if you're doing one of these big conferences for free, how are they not looking at you like that?
Yeah, it depends how you position yourself, Tim, really, when you're coming at these people. Like Sarah's going to position herself as, you know, I saw this conference and it moved me. It's part of my mission of where I'm going in the next chapter of my career. And, you know, honestly, yes, you'd be lucky to have me, but honestly, what I'm going to bring to this event is going to set a new gold standard for how you want to run these conferences in the future. So it's positioning. It's not saying, hey, I'm an expert. I do this every day, but the positioning is, this is where I'm heading. Here's what I'm bringing to the table. And, you know, here's what I can save you from, which is another conference that just looks like 2017s, 2016s, 2015s. And really prep your attendees for engagement, for attention, for interaction. I mean, you're going to pull four people out of the audience and get them, you know, show the power of networking with colleagues. That's something that a talking head could talk about with 50 slides for an hour, or you could demonstrate it more powerfully in 3 minutes.
Barry?
Yep.
Barry, if you can hear me, I do have a question for you. And this is all new to me. I am so green at this, the whole idea of proposals. I've never done this before. So I'm listening to everybody here and I'm totally blown away and very excited. But the whole concept of properly valuing your show, you know, you and I talked about it just briefly during our conversation, but I'm thinking that my thought process is way, way undervalued. Will we be talking about that during the course, about how to properly price, how to properly price your show, basically?
Yeah, and you're coming from a little different place, Victor, because, you know, you're firing something up after a 40-year career.
Right.
And, you know, bringing something back. I know for sure you're going to be able to talk to your industry if you want. I know you kind of want to leave that behind, but to get the footage, to get the value, yeah, to start understanding it, it's going to just be important for you to lean into kind of what you've done for four decades.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, we will talk about that, you know, where the value comes in, the pricing. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Because I'm kind of lost on that. I was throwing out numbers to you based on what I thought, and maybe I had a few conversations with people, but nothing really in reality.
Yeah. And, you know, it's important to, that's wrong. I just want to stick this link in. It's important that we are congruent, you know, that what we show people is congruent with the value we bring, the opportunity we're giving to them, the possibility of transforming an event. It has to be congruent with a price. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're really, and I know you have some really doable goals. I mean, I talked at the beginning about an event or a number.
Yeah.
Mine's good at knowing we achieve something. There's some good ones that you can achieve at the end of this 10 weeks.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Then we get to reset them. You know, that's the exciting part. Then we get kind of get to go, oh, cool, let's reset those up a bit now. Grab this. Copy. Let me just stick this in our chat here so you have these cameras. Yeah, there's an article with a handful of cameras you guys can check out later. Hey, and just so you know, logistics-wise, I post all the comments from this, the whole, if you have something that comes up that you want to remember, just stick it in the chat box. That gets posted on the replay page for this, so you'll always have a place where you can go back and find it. I use it for a lot of notes throughout. Okay, good. So we tackled Sarah's piece. We got some good ideas going there. I think the next one on my notes I want to do. Oh yeah, I want to dig into Hans's adventure world here. Oh, let me paste Sarah's that we have here in our notes just so we have it too.
And thank you everybody and Barry for helping me with that. It's
oh
great.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. This is a we're all going to be doing this. I love having live examples to actually work with as opposed to theoretical.
Yeah, this is fun.
So the next step in yours, just so you know, Sarah, because I know this is all very new to you, take each one of these bullet points here. Mm-hmm. This is great branding too. I'll just point this out. They have their program. They have their website program so that when you highlight stuff, it's in pink and it's a women's conference. So, I mean, I look for little tiny pieces of branding, which are just awesome. You know, it's really cool. But getting to the top of any challenge, grab this, put a bullet point here and just put what you're going to do. You know, you're climbing the pole. And this doesn't have to be final form. This is just gathering fodder to write what's coming out. Getting to the top despite... oh, I got a great line for this, but it has to come last. This is, you're going to use this in your final, despite, history. I can't wait to write the third word right now, cause it's going to be the one that lands a deal for you. Despite history, gravity or pricks.
Oh my gosh.
That's going to be so awesome.
It's great because they have a pineapple helmet too, which is kind of prickly.
So right, exactly. Levels. Just a double entendre of that word is going to, it's going to kill. But yeah, so anyway, play with that. And but for each of these, come down and write 3 or 4 bullet points, you know, under each one. And then you're going to know what you're going to talk about. And then you're going to take these over to the application. You're going to have a strong sentence for each one of them. And then at the end, you're going to have just a short video, you know, kind of like Mike made that kind of shows what this is going to be like. And you're going to nail this.
Okay. Thank you. I'm
all right. Cool.
Pumped. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Right. It's crazy. Okay, good. Let's look at Hans's piece now. So Hans, you're 29 or 27. I forget.
27.
27. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Mikkel was 29.
Yeah.
And I like the thing that your mom told you about, you know, people claiming to be experts. And fortunately, the groups that I picture you overlaying your skills as a performer with will appreciate your youth as opposed to look at it as a detriment. Your mom, you know, it's funny, there's this great line that says, where you stand on something depends on where you sit. And your mom is sitting in the place of a 50-something year old who's saying, I don't want to learn anything from a 27-year-old, the people you're going to talk to about are going to go, oh my God, this dude's 27. He does all this amazing stuff. And he's got this show he's going to show us. So you're sitting in a radically different place. And so are the people from your audience. So the fact
can
that
I interject one thing there.
Yeah. Jump in, please.
That's
Bobby. You guys is awesome. Go ahead.
I traveled to Scandinavia. I've been going there for like 35 years. My wife is Swedish. It's a great place. But one of the things about, I think that culture a lot of times, and maybe Northern European culture in general, is there's a kind of a tendency to have a ceiling on everybody and everybody to be sort of, for nobody to stand out and be any better than the other person. And that's a thing that I think a lot of people over there maybe need to get a break out of in order to assimilate into maybe where we're at.
Awesome.
I'm not sure if you agree with me on that or not, but it's something I noticed.
I want to have Hans comment on this, Bobby, but it's so funny. Hans's friend is in our group too, but I don't know if he's not here today. Mikael, but he wrote to me. What's the word in Norwegian? That he...
The law of Jonte.
Yeah, hi. Barry, I'm here.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah, I'm here.
That word, and tell him the translation of that, what it basically means.
Hans, you want to do it? Or?
Go ahead, Nico. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's the law of Jante, J-A-N-T-E, which is basically you should not believe that you're anything special or that you can teach us anything or that you're worth anything more than anyone else and so on. And us is the group in a way, or the rest of society. Instead of telling that to everyone.
You are familiar with that, Bobby, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. How do we overcome that then? You know, because that's in your DNA. I mean, let's just own that. Let's just say, you know, it's part of your grandparents believed it. Your great grandparents believed it. They handed it to you. So it's in the DNA. And I've had people in Chubba's Blueprint who have mentioned it never that succinctly. Like when Mikael wrote me that, I actually had like goosebumps. I'm like, oh, I get, like, so many loops were closed in my mind of what I had heard over the years, but that just summed it up. Like, you're nothing special. Don't do anything to stick out. So what I'm going to invite you to do, and you already love doing this, Hans, is take this freaking story to Australia, to America, to, you know, other places in the world where they're not living under that ceiling that Bobby mentioned. I mean, and it sounds like that's going to be right up your bailiwick. I mean, to be able to do that and to combine it even with some of your trips to look for the most amazing things you can see happening. Like, there's this guy, look at John Krakauer. Do you know him? He's an author.
No.
What an amazing dude. He wrote Into Thin Air, Into the Wild, Under the Banner of Heaven. He's an adventure writer for Outside Magazine. Just look at where he's speaking. Like, where he's speaking, that's where you should be doing exactly what we're talking about here, opening the keynote sessions with some of your stuff. Because, I mean, you're out there in the world. You'll take 10 days off when you have and fly to Kenya or fly, you know, just somewhere to go on a ski trip. I love that you said when I asked what could get in your way, you're like me jumping on a plane and going to do something just unimaginably cool.
But, you know, another.
Yeah, go ahead, Hans.
I was saying to myself, well, of course, you know, actually, you know, to give me the, allowing me to do this, I've been saying to myself, you know what, I might be able to do this in Portugal, surfing a week. No, I might be able to go to Portugal. It's good internet there. I could still work from there where I'm surfing for a week if there's suddenly no work for a week.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
And while you're in Portugal, what's happening where you're not underneath that, that, you know, century-old tradition of don't stick out, you're nothing special. What's happening in Portugal?
Well, I stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, exactly. You do stand out in Portugal.
I do that at home too. I've always been attacking the law of Jante. There's always been a quest of mine of going against that. But it's not, you know, just yourself saying it to you. It's something that people will point fingers or they will talk about you being that guy. And a lot of times it's good. You know, a lot of times they'll actually give you credit for being that person. But like in sales, you see it just in the way you write copy in Norway, that you cannot write overly good things. You know, you cannot sell yourself, or of course I cannot sell myself overly enthusiastic, for example.
Over enthusiastic, yep.
For example. Or a lot of times using my actual credentials or achievements in a copy would just seem like bragging to Norwegians.
But this is a place where you can have on film and stuff other people saying great things about you. I always have to be careful when I perform over there. I typically perform as a guest artist with orchestras and jazz orchestras. And when I arrive, a lot of times being the guy that's the soloist, the groups can be very standoffish towards me. So I try to just treat everybody really great. I don't try to be the boss or anything, you know, and I try to establish a rapport with them. And then it's usually after everything's been completed that everybody's happy and go, wow, that was great. You were fantastic and this and that. But I know exactly where you're coming from. And it's part of what my wife has sort of kind of getting over in here living in America. You know, it can be not necessarily that it's a problem for you, but for a lot of people it is. And it's a tough one over there, I think, with that.
Yeah. And you know, Hans, it's funny. I don't get that you're stuck underneath that right now. And that may, I think your generation is going to kind of make the biggest change in that cultural belief than has probably been made cumulatively since it was first issued.
Absolutely.
So, sure. Dude, be a part of that, man. Be a leader in that. I love it. Not that you have to start talking about yourself enthusiastically, but proudly. And can you go from here to here? Can you open it up a little bit? And can you go do it in other countries, man? I mean, there is stuff happening all over the world that are adventure-based, that are young entrepreneur-based. You know, Young Entrepreneurs Association, young president YPOs, Young Presidents of America, Young Presidents Organization. You can find these events happening all over the world. You don't have to be underneath that cover, and you don't need to do anything but shine and be you and be this 27-year-old who's busting out. And in fact, I'll offer you that that can even be a huge-ass piece of your story. You know, that I'm living in this place. What did you say, 5.5 million people the other day?
Yeah.
God, that number has not left me. That's your whole country. That's insane. Yeah. Like
we're like 80,000 square kilometers bigger than the whole UK.
Man, it's insane. You know, Joshua there in Hollywood can look out his front window and see 5.5 million people. And, you know, that's the whole country. So, you know, the fact that you're held underneath this, you know, that you were raised under this thing, you know, being able to talk about that, like I'm in this room full of entrepreneurs that don't have this thing. You know, what did you have in your cultural bringing up that you may have to leave the country to talk about? So I will offer to you that outside of Norway, there is a massive market. And the fact that you love to travel and be in places. I mean, let's get on the map here for at least one in 2018. Some crazy ass entrepreneur event, an adventure event, and a travel event. Something somewhere in the world. And let's pitch to that thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Dude, oh God, I love that. Yeah, that's cool. Oh, plus, yeah, you don't even suffer my crutch. You'll never be turned down for your bad looks. I mean, look at you, holy cow. Yeah, yeah, people would love to have you at their event. I had to talk my way in a lot of times. So, all right, good stuff. So let's do some work around that this week. I mean, feel free on the group to put in just some events you found. Some things in the world that sound scary. Look up this guy, John Krakauer, see where he's speaking at. I guarantee you, those are the kind of events you want to be.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, cool. All right, good. So tell me where people are at energy-wise. We're at 90 minutes, and I tell you these things, sometimes in history, they've gone embarrassingly long when people are just thriving, and sometimes they go, you know, close the fire hydrant, Barry, you know, it's enough. And know that if you're watching, the replay will be here if you feel like you have 90 minutes in your schedule and you want to go. Okay. And if you haven't spoken up yet and there's something cooking inside of you right now, feel free to grab the mic and we can go in a new direction. You can tell me what's happening inside of you right now.
I got to sign out. I got a gig at 2:00, but I'll check the replay.
Awesome. Very good.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, you bet, man.
And Barry, I'm leaving for a meeting, but thank you. This has been awesome. I really appreciate the mind expansion today. So thank you.
Awesome, Victor. And we've just gotten the shovel out of the shed, man.
Got started.
I know. It's this thing goes a little crazy. So, all right, man. Have a great meeting. All right. As soon as he checks out. All right. Any other quitters? No, I'm kidding. That was just for people on the
I'm going to quit. I got to bounce also, but.
Yeah, I got you. No problem, Greg. I know your gig. All right.
I gotta take a break.
What's that, Sarah?
I gotta go use the bathroom, but my energy's good to go.
Right, there's always that. Yeah, there's biological bio breaks we can do too. You know, I just I strap on a stadium pal at the beginning. No, I'm kidding.
I've been peeing underneath the desk the whole time.
Exactly. You guys should listen to this. Here, listen to David Sedaris do a piece he wrote called "Stadium Pal" live on Letterman. It's like one of the funniest things.
All right,
take care, Greg.
I'll see you guys next time.
All right, can't wait, man. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
I just gotta figure out
something that they're either thinking about that we talked about the overlapping or something that's come up on this call. Let's do a little bit more live work. Share a screen and dig in. All right, Thomas, let's do you, man.
I love the niche thing. I almost have too many. Yeah. Is there a way to, which way, is there other things to think about when we're uncovering the niche? I think that's probably the next week of like diving deep into that.
Yeah. I shared a podcast the other day. I think it was on the page about 10Xing your results versus 2X. And it came from this remarkable man who runs a thing called Strategic Coach that I've been a part of for a while. This guy, Dan Sullivan, he's an amazing guy. He breaks, talk about balls, talking about ruling people out. He has a podcast with Joe Polish called 10X Talk, and it's a real powerful podcast. I love listening to him. I was in his group though for a while. It's an expensive coaching group, but he breaks his groups up by how much you make a year. So it's intense. So, you know, if you're like a million and above, you're only in people who are doing a million to 5 million and then above that. But, and you pay accordingly how much you make. So it was great. He pushes us, but he really talks so much about something called unique ability. And what I'm going to offer you, Thomas, on this piece is to look at these three elements, which he teaches in unique ability. And, they are number one, something you're good at, something you're really good at. So as far as looking at different niches, look at one that you really understand or good at. Two, that you enjoy. And sometimes these are very different. Like I'm really good at editing videos, but I don't enjoy it at all. So I don't do it anymore. It doesn't satisfy all three things. So something you're really good at, something that gives you, that you're good at, that you enjoy. And third, something that leaves you with more energy than it takes away. He says, when you have all three of those circled, you're in your zone of what's called unique ability. And being able to live in unique ability, everything else is like this umbrella you're under. Everything under it is wonderful, warm and cozy and clean and dry. And everything outside of it just gets pushed to the side. So as you're looking at these three niches, does anything come up as one of those that satisfies all three?
When you say good at, is that something that, you know a lot about? Like the, sorry, I have a bit of a cold. So the, for example, the beverage industry, I was in the industry, I know a bit about it. It sort of fits my little niche with, the Pappy Hour and what I do.
Yeah, totally.
So that's what comes to mind, just because I'm used to working with it. I know a bit about it. And there's a big market for it too. I guess I'm also looking at that.
Right. So Dan's Sullivan's unique ability test may not be the most perfect thing for this. It may want to blow that out one level to doing this show, this Pappy show at events. I mean, is that a unique ability for you as well? Just, you're good at it. You're good at the show. You seem to enjoy it, whether it's for that audience or not. And then, doing it for those industries would let you know, am I fired up after doing this or am I down? I mean, to be totally honest, transparent, I only stopped doing Raspini Brothers because one of those three went away. It was no longer something that gave me more energy than it was taking. And as I started doing more consulting, creative consulting, doing Showbiz Blueprint, I was like, oh my gosh, I get off these calls. I'm crying. I'm shaking. I go out running. I mean, I just leave this thing feeling like a million, but I love the energy of it. So it's all three of those things for me. So I would still be running around the world, doing three ping pong balls out of my mouth if it still gave me more energy than it took away, but it didn't anymore. So that's a good piece to look at. So as far as having, niches, you said I have too many to look at. I want to encourage you to grab onto that beverage one just because it rose to the top right now. And can we find half a dozen beverage industry conferences that are happening around the country in 2018? And can we just put ourselves in the place of being able to, and this would definitely be a paid gig. I mean, but this is going through the work I did with Sarah, where we just look at the schedule, what they have coming on. If it's a 3-day conference, they have a general session every morning where everyone's there. They have some breakouts. They have an award ceremony. They have a dinner on one of the nights where it's a big group dinner. They may be doing things where they actually have an entertainment night, and you can tell by looking at their last year's agenda what they have. So yeah, you can do all that. And if you want to commit to applying the principles of Showbiz Blueprint to one thing, let's do it on that, and then you can apply it to other niches. Does that sound doable? And we can look at a few. Let's look at beverage.
Okay, thanks, Barry.
Yeah.
Beverage. Question, Barry.
Yeah.
being a stand-up comedian, I have a, you know, certain niches that I put in, and I was wondering if you don't have a, I guess I'm a wide range. I can speak on any subject in any event because of my background as a comedian. How do you find that niche, that one? Because I listed on my niches, business, entertainment, health, business, and then I didn't mention marriage, which I've been married 3 times. That's, you know, that's a joke in itself.
Right.
But it's how do you find that one thing that I think that's one of the things that drew me to Showbiz Blueprint to help me focus on that one thing? Because being on cruise ships so long, as you know, it's a different world.
Right.
You get closed in. So how do you find that one thing that you can pinpoint on? Or do you go to different conventions, businesses, entrepreneurships, whatever, and just speak on those?
So, Michael, let's apply everything from Showbiz Blueprint just to one. And I swear to you, it seems like I'm going to lose something if I don't do the right one, or I'm going to
right.
Yeah, I have to really load my gun fully before I fire. Mm-hmm. But let's just do this. Let's just go from what you've been doing, which is, you know, being on the cruises, you know, 30, 40 weeks a year, to applying these principles to one industry. And let's just pick one and let's do it. Because if in 5 weeks you realize it's not there, we still got this. If in 10 weeks you realize I've gone through two and they're not it, you still have our alumni group. You still got my text number. It's like, let's just do that small course correction I talked about, and let's focus the principles on one of them right now. Which one rises to the top? You know, Thomas just said the beverage one is at least something I have a past on.
Probably entrepreneurship or businesses, because I've run my own business. I've had janitorial business. I've had printing car business. In entertainment, we are a business.
Oh my gosh, are we ever.
So I know the ins and outs of networking, or I'm learning more about it now, networking and the business behind the business behind the show. So it's a lot that interests me there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that one is great. And there are, even if it's just at this point to get some experience, to get in front of people, to make some connections, to start building the dots that you can connect, let's focus it on an entrepreneurial meetings, conferences that happen. They're everywhere. And I tell you, one of the best things that you will have going for you is that you don't have to overcome the juggling hurdle. It's like I talk my way into so many things, and I got really good at talking about what we do with never mentioning the word juggling.
Right.
Everyone's got that conception. Whereas comedy, stand-up comedy, and you're clean. I mean, you work, you know, you're doing Disney ships, you're doing churches. I mean, you have a lot of stuff that makes it very safe for people to do that.
Right.
Man, but I was in a traffic and conversion in San Diego. There was 3,500 people. And the guy who runs it just loves comedy. Like, he had a comedian open up every general session. And I was like, great guy, you know, just.
But what I don't want to do is become the comedian of the convention. I want to be the keynote speaker with the humorous edge that makes me stand out from everybody else.
Gotcha. And keynote speakers, successful ones, need to have some humor worked into their piece, of course. And it's a fine line between, are you a comedian who's working in a little bit of a message, or are you a kick-ass message deliverer who's going to shake up? You know, it's funny because keynotes are funky, man. They want to hire big people, but they want you to be entertaining.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, and they really want that. It's like I work with this guy, Mike Abershoff. You know, he turned around the worst performing Navy ship to the best performing Navy ship in like 3 years, I think. It was some ridiculous number. Big keynote speaker, $50,000 speaker. I've been on half a dozen conferences with him over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets up there and he doesn't teach one single thing about leadership. That's all in his book. But, you know, what's there is who he is, what he's done, the reputation. Yeah. And then he just needs to be entertaining and make the people feel like they got to spend some time with a great leader.
Right. Okay. So,
I mean, your work to be in that way is to start creating content, putting it out there in short snippets that's tagged and entitled with people, of what people are looking at. You know, if you see something happening in the world, like if you wanted to get on and talk about your opinion about, man, I'll never bring in politics into this because I never asked in our interviews. People are all over the map on this stuff. But if you have some strong feelings about what's happening in our world, Mm-hmm. I just want to get on there and talk about, you know, how this relates to family or how this relates to entrepreneurship or how this applies to, I mean, you're qualified to speak about so much happening right now from the African-American movement, mm-hmm. I mean, by birthright. What do you want to put in the sand as your message you want to start talking about, and how can you start creating content about it immediately and getting it into the wake of what's already happening so you can get views for it? Because I tell you, we can sit around and write the perfect keynote, write the perfect book, or we can just start creating content.
Okay.
Yeah, man. And I'd love to hear any of that you put out.
Okay.
Be it about family, you know, come from the, I mean, you did some, I've only seen short snippets of your stand-up that you shared mm-hmm. with me, but you did some stuff about three times being married, right?
Yeah, most of my show, my foundation of my show is about that.
So with a divorce rate that goes up 1 point every single day in this country, and I don't know about in other countries, but you know, it's climbing pretty radically. There's a lot of need for messaging around this. If you can make it funny, if you can create short-ish videos, you know, 90-second videos, 2-minute videos that tackle one single topic, you know, with 5 or 6 amazing jokes in it.
Right.
Man, start getting that stuff passed around. And when you see something in the news about a famous breakup, write a comment about it, put the link to your YouTube video, and watch those numbers start growing.
Okay. Okay.
I mean,
Thank you.
I don't want anyone who's on the screen right now or watching this and recording to ever put out one piece of content that's perfect, ever. It's the worst thing you could possibly do is put out something that's perfect. Instead, put out something raw that's reactive and be ready to come out with something else the next day if you want to cover it, you want to expand on it. But man, divorce rate is huge. You know, it's funny and let that settle for a second. I want to just pop back to what I had on my screen. I typed in beverage conferences when Thomas started talking about his thing. And look at all these. I mean, man, Pappy at a cannabis conference, like doing the opening night, like all the jokes you could have about the cannabis world. You know, as an old – Pappy is this character he does, which is this awesome old, like, wise, almost archetypal grandpa who's, you know, hip and funny and does these great things and says things. But, man, turning that dude loose – for 20 minutes, you know, mixed throughout the awards for the best bud in America or the best advancement in bong proceed, you know, whatever. I mean, I just look at things like this, and that's the kind of pictures you can paint for people. But boy, there's all kinds of amazing beverage conferences that happen here. And with your background in it, for you to be able to mention that as part of the sales conversation, yeah, of course, of course. London, right. 2019, oh. Integrity. Yeah, so, you know, we look at things like this and we just start connecting dots about this stuff. And for you guys looking on here, this is, you know, I just, Beverage Industry Conference 2018. Mm-hmm. I just do that, and the second I type in, I switch over here to image view, so I'm looking at the images because they'll all have some sort of image about their event, where it's happening, the dates. You can just get a feel for these things that you can get into. As far off as it seems right now.
Well, I love the idea of the video, of the short little video catered to, I think I watched a Get Corporate Gig. You had something about that.
Okay, yeah.
You know, don't, instead of the one page, you just do a little video direct to them, maybe throw in a trick or something, and it's probably unlike anything they've seen.
Look at this. This looks very familiar from Sarah's thing, doesn't it? This is the application Call for Presenters.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'll tell you, these things, they're going to get 99.9% are going to be keynote people who have a message or something. And it's going to get in front of the right person to fill this in with yours, with a link to your short video, your proposal video, your mic style video that you put out there. So, it's going to get in front of all these people. Yeah. And this one's too soon. Of course, this is, they're settled up on this thing, but you know, they have going to have a 2019 one. So, and that was just one I happened to pick, but all right. So. Water break. Yeah. So what I want to tell you guys is to believe in yourselves, to apply everything we're doing here. In this week one, we just look at those overlays because it's, I can't tell you how this plays out for people, just being able to combine tricks, skills, education into something that these people didn't know was coming. There's the guy, I guarantee you, the guy or gal who right now is putting together this this beverage alcohol conference, and the biggest fear he or she is going to sleep with at night is one of two things. This is going to suck, or this is going to be the exact same as it was last year. How can this be different? It's the only fear people have right now, because we're in a world that evolves so fast and changes, and people are, you know, they have all the information before they get to the conference. So what can they do to make it worth their audience members coming in live? And what they can do is an email and a presentation and a proposal away, and it comes from you.
Okay. Right on.
You, every person, that's who it comes from. Yeah. So trust yourself, celebrate the no's, and get out. Just let's build a spreadsheet of these that is a little bit in the future. And in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see how to go big time on proposing these people. And if there's one coming up and you want to do it and you just say, I feel this in my bones, jump on with Mike. He'll walk you through like exactly what he did, man. He just, you know, white knuckled it. Tell me you want to do it with me or something, and I will do it as a live in our Facebook group. We'll just go on live and do one. But find one that's in your bones, in your brain, in your heart, that you just feel like, man, this is one I want to try and pitch to. And we'll do it live in our Facebook group. We can go on live right in there and do one. So
can I hop in with a question?
Yep.
So the two niches, really the only two other things other than actually performing mentalism that I have kind of experience, education, knowledge about is working in education and writing. And just looking at those types of conferences that I know happen for those, it really seems like they're looking for people that are like, you know, writers want to hear from Stephen King and
yep.
and Rice, and writers and educators, I really don't feel as though they have a lot of entertainers at their conferences, if any, and they really want to hear from people who are doing like real educational leadership. So I kind of hit, I felt a little bit more of a connection when I watched the How to Build a Keynote from the Get More Corporate Gigs. Yeah. I watched those where it was more like topic based than industry focused. And so like I felt bad like opting out of day one homework, you know. No, I didn't opt out. I mean, I did it.
Sure.
But you know, I was like, where do I go with that? It's like I left education. I have no place in writing.
Gotcha. So you guys, we stayed on this call this long so that we could all hear this amazing moment that Tom just presented us with. And this is, and I'm only going to use you as an archetypal example, Tom, not anything personal against you, but this is the lizard brain kicking in. I promise you, there's a part of his brain right now that feels very safe saying that. I'm going to show you guys this screen right here. I think it was 2011, maybe 2010, somewhere in there, American Association of Mathematics Teachers had the Raspini Brothers as their after dinner entertainment, paid us $15,000 and flew us. I think it was in Boston or I think it was in Boston, but we went and did the American Association of Mathematics Teachers after dinner on their night. So when I hear you say that, and that's one, I mean, we ended up doing trade shows for Hewlett Packard when they talked about calculators. I was right across the booth from Texas Instruments and Casio, made fun of Texas Instruments and Casio calculators. I told them to go over and ask the people at those booths what this key does. They'll have no idea. But, you know, they are all looking for something fun that isn't the same as usual. Your background in education takes you from here to there. Just to say that you were a math teacher for seventh graders, and now you do these amazing events for corporations all over. All I could tell them was junior college was the two worst weeks of my life, and I got in there. So I promise you, listen to the voice that you just, you know, that you spoke so eloquently for, and know that it's bullshit. It's just a story that really some part of you wants to believe. And yeah, man, thanks for saying it, because, you know, things are great like that when they come from the outside. But
can't believe we had the example ready to go.
Oh, man, as you were talking, I brought this up because I'm like, oh, my God, we were on the AMTIE website. And then that led to a great trade show for HP. And then that led to something else. So, man, the fact that you were a teacher is nothing but a positive for this for you. And know that. And it's funny, I started looking this up when you said what the other one was. But what was the other one? Oh, writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the writing conference. It may be more regional. The big ones, you know, the Iowa Writers Conference, the Maui, you know, writers, those ones are going to want to get the Stephen Kings, the, you know, the Alice Walkers. And rightly so, they should. But there are ones happening, smaller ones that we could throw on a Google thing here, right, and take a peek for. And you could do 10 proposals. And the greatest thing in the world I'd celebrate, Tom, if you were able to go, Barry, I got 10 no's from writer conferences. I go, dude, that's fantastic.
Celebrate the no's.
Yeah, celebrate, man. Those, the yeses you're going to get live right in that land. They got the same zip code as the no's.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
How important is it for him then to, like what you did with Sarah, you know, tying in those three or four points, of course, that was an opening for a keynote. Like, how important it is for him to tie in points that have to do with that niche versus just being an entertaining minimalist?
Right. For like,
is that the big thing that he needs to do?
It would be wonderful to mention that in your piece, that you come from this background, that in your show, you're going to incorporate, you're going to do a magic trip that's going to make these teachers never forget the four principles of core confidence education. Yeah, and I'll make these things up just off the top of my head right now because I have no idea. But, you know, I'm going to show these teachers the magic that they've never even acknowledged about their job so that they can go back to work 10 times more in love with their profession. You know, just your work is to connect the dots between the magic you do, what you bring to the stage and to the audience, and what they need more than anything. Teachers come to this Association of Mathematic Teacher Educators. They were not exciting people, second maybe only till when we did the American Association of Coroners, which, you know.
Hey, I've done funeral directors associations.
I've done that too. Yeah, man. I mean, it's amazing when you can wake up those crowds, but math teachers were like that. So what do they want? They want to inspire their, and you can get what they want here by looking at their thing. They're going to have a theme here. They're going to have the theme of what their event is at. Standards for prepping teachers of mathematics. You know, just look for things like this. This is what I can work into my show for them. And you mentioned it in your customized video introduction too. Wow, look at this. My brain is unable even to get through this whole title. I lose track right around here. But that's their world. So you need to building support. So yeah, did I sell that we were going to do a big mathematics show? Probably not, you know, but approaching these people, you know what their conference is going to be like. You can get on here and see that they're going to have a dinner. And I guarantee you, they're going to have something after that dinner. And if you don't get in there and save them, it's going to be something hideous. Yeah.
Thanks for taking the question.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I love that. That was it.
Hey, Barry.
Jump in. Hey, Joshua.
Hey. So one of my niches was, the payment industry, because I am working in the payment industry right now.
I know.
And so I went up to our marketing director and I was like, how many trade shows, how many conventions do you do a year? And she was like, we do 20. And I'm like, okay, how many is that to compare? It's like, well, that's really small. There's about a couple thousand a year that we could probably go to, but we only do that many. And I'm just like, what? That's just crazy. It was like blowing my mind that there's just that much out there just in the payment industry. And it was like, and so I already talked to him about it. And so hopefully, because they don't have any entertainment, they just have the things going on. Like, it's really boring, actually. They said that was one of the problems. It's really boring, these trade shows and conventions. And
yeah.
So I'm already now talking to them about maybe going to one of them with them and showing them some stuff. Because, you know, I know all the lingo. I know exactly what to do. And it's something I never would have thought of without doing that homework assignment.
Dude, I'll tell you, Joshua, there are payment industry trade shows that are so huge. And I've been to some of them. Well, there's booths that are at CES that do that. Other trade shows that I've been to, I'm trying to think of the NetWorld Interop. That's a huge trade show. And there's always.
Yeah, I heard that one. Yeah. They mentioned that.
Oh my gosh. It's huge. It takes over Vegas and Atlanta every 6 months. It's in one of those two places. But that NetWorld Interop, and I've worked at that one as a Raspini brother, bringing big, huge crowds to these booths. And, you know, you being inside the industry, being able to do magic, your only job right now literally is to connect where their core conflicts are. And I talk about core conflicts next week or the week after to the solution. That's it. It's like right now they're in a big trade show floor. They're lost looking and feeling and smelling and being everybody else. And really what they want more than anything is for the prospects walking by to stop for a minute, get the two or three unique selling propositions that your company offers, get it in a way that's got some laughs in it, hand them over to the sales team. And your fee becomes, as insignificant as the padding that they've rented underneath the carpet. You know, it's your fee is not the big deal at that point. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I know their products inside out. I know everything about it. I know what they're doing. And I've also put together a little act using their products and how their new ones that they're trying to launch. So I'm about to like start showing them that to take it to the next step. It's like, oh, hey, I can show you Order Insight, their next program we're trying to launch and stuff like, you know, to get other people interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see who it was who put up this comment, but this is just a callback who was I talking about that? Oh my God, my brain starts spinning too fast. Oh, I'm sorry. When Greg was talking about math teacher and stuff, but yeah, I think Patrick put up this link of Arthur Benjamin's 2005 TED talk. This thing made mathematics cool. He engaged magic in this thing, but became a great keynote speaker out of this thing. Ended up doing a whole lot of great corporate events and still does, you know, so boy, just once again, just reinforce that little part of our brain that loves so much to stay safe. I can't tell you, I still get it. I still get it every single time. You know, I start this, it's like, you know, who are you to do this, Barry? You're a juggler, you know, and it's just that part will be there and it's learning to dance with it, Greg. So you'll have a lot of opportunities to dance with it. And I can't wait till you walk on the first time on a stage and do this kind of thing for an audience that you hand grew, a show you hand created. And went, oh, okay, this is what Barry was talking about. This is great. And you'll do it. Cool. All right, team. Who?
I have a question.
Welcome, John.
Thank you. So conference, so far we've talked about being a speaker from the stage to a big group of people. Can you tell whether close-up magic or walk-around magic, and I know I'm not going to, you know, personalized command performances.
I told you.
Would that fit into these conferences where there are speakers and presenters?
Literally the only thing I've talked about, and it's interesting you've heard it as talking about from the stage as a speaker. I certainly didn't mean it that way. I mean, everyone here is an entertainer. Really what I talk about is positioning. How do we position ourselves when we first introduce ourselves, when we have the conversation, when we do a proposal, when we present our price, when we show up? It's all about the positioning. And if you're going to do that to connect a group of strangers, of 1,000 strangers at a VIP cocktail reception or a cocktail reception on the opening night of a conference, if you're going to market yourself that way, really the only thing that's important is how you position yourself. As not as a close-up magician, not as a strolling walk-around entertainer, but as a connector, as someone who will take this group of relative strangers who all they share in common is a name tag and you know, an association they belong to, and turn them into a group that connects through laughter, has a common denominator, a common experience at the beginning of a conference. Yeah, that's the positioning. That's what you're doing. We're just changing really the way we're talking about ourselves. We're reframing the way that we talk about ourselves and what we offer and what we do for the event. And it's not about us, never about us. It's always about them. So being able to move that language away from us and onto how does it affect the event? How will it help the theme of your conference? How will it help the mission of what these people came here to get? Doesn't matter if you're playing music, if you're doing walk around magic, if you're doing an after dinner show, if you're emceeing an award ceremony, doesn't matter. The only thing we're doing is looking at how we can take what we do, lay it on top of their goals for the event, and make it bigger and better than they ever imagined. And we have great tools for walking people down that path. Cool. Am I on that one? Oh yeah. Let's figure out how many cameras I'm on here. Cool. All right. Well,
can I say something for
please,
John?
Yeah, please. Open mic.
I've actually sold my close-up magic services to these large conferences as something that's done as people go from one room to another. Or, for example, let's say they have a training conference for an entire company of people. They bring their sales managers to one city and they put them in a room, and then they have different people from their
corporate organization talk about what they want store managers to do. And then there's a break time, and then they go out and they get water, whatever, stretch their legs, and then they come back into the conference hall where the next set of speakers for the next hour or two are going to be. I've actually sold the marketing people on the idea of having close-up magic in between these breaks to add some excitement to these people, because they just come out, they mingle around, and they BS with one another, maybe go have a cigarette or whatever, and then just pile back into the room. There's really nothing going on for them at that point that's exciting, that's fun, that's different, that gives them a break from what they're now about to go into. So that's an area that you can sell your services to, and it's walk around, and it's a big conference. And then you can also sell stage services to act as interstitials between speakers that tackle, those speakers are going to tackle more solid subjects that the company needs to get across to their employees, but they do need a break between those two speakers. And you could be doing that as well. So you can sell 3 days of not only doing little interstitials between the different speakers, but also close-up magic in the hallway after too, and walk away with a very nice paycheck.
Wow, love it. Yeah, so I mean, that goes to how do I make, and this is another thing that goes against Showbiz Blueprint, is we never, I don't talk about, you know, hourly. Like, I never can't deal with hourly. It's an appearance fee. And what David's talking about, I mean, yeah, it's gonna be an appearance fee, and I'm gonna be there for 3 days. What a wonderful way to sell this. And I've been at things where I do the show, and then the next morning we'll do a workshop on teamwork, or you know, just having fun juggling a wake up morning stretch. They'll often have at conferences, and they'll bring us in to do that. But I mean, you guys can do that too. It doesn't matter if you're a musician playing trumpet, doing magic, contact juggling, you know, really everything that I see that we all do. Body usage. I mean, Thomas does this amazing workshop on showing people just what message are you telling an audience about how you use your body? You know, always we have this appearance fee, and it includes boom, 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 boom. And in the case David's saying is like, yeah, just let's keep people even engaged in the conference when they're, you know, heading out to take a break. Let's keep the messaging, the branding alive. So awesome.
Thank you for that, David.
Great piece.
And your book is amazing. The 10 card, ultimate 10 card.
10 card poker deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get the new one on the card to wallet? You should.
Nice.
Okay.
Right. I don't even know that book. See, I'm not a magic guy. So
it's the best. It's the best 10 card poker deal. But
wow. Anyway. Oh, I saw a pic. Oh my gosh. I saw a video of him doing that. Actually, I didn't know you had a book on it. That was nuts. That ain't right. What happened in that video? Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Anyone else want to bring something else up? I think like we've covered most things where we've successfully passed the 2 hour mark, which I'll tend to do, and I'll stay as long as people's brains are bubbling and we have something new to cover. Or I invite you also to just review what I said at the very top. What's a note you can take from today's talk? Can you put a timeline next to it? Like, I'm going to do this one piece we talked about, research events, start outlining a proposal, get clear on my offers, you know, what I want to do, look more deeply into my overlap of my life experience and my performance. And I want to do it by Friday. You know, can you get at least one thing on your notepad that you can take action on?
I have two kind of housekeeping questions. They might be silly, but I bet somebody else might be wondering the same thing.
I bet they are.
So one of them is kind of referring back to, I think it was called something about workflow, one of the free videos you did in the launch. Mm-hmm. And you're breaking down the workday into like personal development, money making, family time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I really love that. And I've been trying to follow that. And that's actually one of my things to do, the shakeup.
Wow, good for you.
But so I'm getting kind of, there's like so much overlap between personal development and money making, I think, probably for a lot of us. So how do we, do you have like a system to differentiate between the two? Like, where does, you know, Showbiz Blueprint stop being personal development and start being money making and things like that?
Right. Well, if you use that little link I put on the page to go sign up for my 30-day sugar-free program, you'll see one of the big beliefs in my life is how you do anything is how you do everything. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there are lines, and this is, I have this early, but this will be installed on my death spot here. Change takes change. I kind of love that. I always put that up on my back wall when I do my talks for the sugar-free world. But change takes change. And, you know, when we change one thing, how we do this, it's how we're going to do that. So it is. I mean, that's a really good catch, Sarah, just to notice that there is so much overlap. What she's talking about, I'm trying to bring this up. But I may have too many documents, if you can imagine, on Google Drive. It takes. I have the extended package, but sometimes I try and look up documents and it just takes too long.
That was a really good video. It was one of my favorites from the launch. It's great.
Oh, awesome. Good.
Mine too.
Oh, nice.
What, the one, are we talking about the one where you divide you schedule your routine daily?
Yeah, and let's 20%. Just talk about this for a second. I'll run you guys through this. It comes up based off a book called Profit First, which is written by Mike Michalowicz, who's on faculty here, and he'll be teaching us. Really, this is process of handling every dollar that comes into your business to get this, make you profitable from day one. And it's a simple mind shift, but it's remarkable. I've been doing it a little over a year now. So I shifted it to time, 24 hours of income every day. And here's how I personally break mine up. It has nothing to do with how you may want to do it differently. And it may become more important for you to distinguish between personal development and money-making activities. But mine, I get up early because I don't need any sleep because I don't eat sugar. So I honestly almost need no sleep. But so I get up around 5:30 and do 2 hours of, you know, now it's including this amazing book, The Greatest Secret in the World, which is taking about 5 minutes of reading in the morning. But 2 hours personal development, exercise, education, health. So this stuff, that's 2 hours, 4 hours of money-making activities. And that's talking to clients, doing my coaching, doing some Facebook advertising for my thing, working with my partners in my other business. Anything that I actually say within 90 days puts money in my bank account, that's what I do during these 4 hours. So that may be a good distinction for you is, will this add money to me in 90 days? 4 hours of family time. You know, this is just fun, man. Yesterday I got to drive with my 16-year-old son for the first time legally. He got his permit, so that was awesome. Took him on a drive, and yeah, he was great. Maybe from all the illegal drives we did before that. 4 hours of family time, meals, games. So these numbers will shift around for you, you know. This is bill paying. This is a home ec. This is fixing stuff. This is filing stuff. Just, you know, stuff to keep life going. 2 hours swinging for the fences. And I tell you, this is my favorite time of the whole day. This may want you, and this is big. This has taken me years to get to 2 hours of this. You may want to start with 20 minutes a day. But the important piece of this is you're building towards something that's on the very last page of this. And that's flex time that you can apply to any of these other categories as you want. Or you can go jump in a hot tub or take a run or just, and they all fall into some category. So it's about consciousness with your time. And this stuff for me is big. I mean, this is 2 hours a day, and I'm religious. If nothing else, this is the one I'm religious about. But, you know, what would I say to? And that sentence, man, that sentence kicks my ass sometimes. It's just like, what would I say to this person, you know, if I could get them? And then I do it. You know, then I start looking for who I can connect with. What would I do on a stage, on a TEDx event? You know, another one, that was an old goal for me, but what would I do if I wrote another book? What would I say in an article? What would I write on this person's blog? What would I say on this podcast? It's just like these things. And then I just put the steps down to get in touch with the person who runs that podcast, who could help me with that book, who's maybe already writing one that I could add something to. Good. 6 hours of sleep. And, you know, in a way this is pushing it, but I got to be responsible. But 6 hours of sleep. And then this, man, this is my favorite one here. I always look, how can I get this number up? You know, this is the great number up. But so being conscious with your time is, that's the big asset, you know, we have. And everything I teach in Showbiz Blueprint will be towards streamlining that, towards using templates, towards using funnels, towards doing a generic. I mean, Mike did that video for that one festival. But eventually I'm going to move him on to a festival that has 90% of that information, but it's not about that Charlotte. It's just about his appearance at festivals so that he can go onto a page that's 95% done, put the Charlotte town logo at the top, and cover the personalized stuff in an email that he sends to the person. But that video is the same for every festival because 90% of it can be the same. We're going to do the same thing in our towns. You know, if you're in Knoxville and you're trying to pitch meetings coming to Knoxville, there's no reason to do a different video for every one of those people. It's like, let's do a kick-ass one about you're bringing your event to Knoxville and put the person's logo on top of the page. That's taking a, you know, a big process and down to just, boom, just changing one line of text on it. So, but not recording the video or redoing the video or anything. So that's what you were talking about. So I'm happy to talk more about that, but you know, that's my treating time like money. So.
Which video was that? I think I missed that one.
That was in Showbiz Blueprint. I'll put in my notes here to link that in our group. I'll put it, you know, on a replay page from this replay.
And are you able to, are you able to share those slides on that with us? Just the individual slides?
Definitely. Just so I'm clear on what you're asking, Bobby, the ones that I was just showing?
Yeah, correct. Oh
my God, absolutely. In fact, I'll put a link to that document here. I'm pretty sure this document.
Awesome.
Yep. Let me just open that back up. I'll just put a link to this right here on our page in our notes. So you'll have that. And the way Google Docs works is you'll have access to this one to view it, but you can just go under file and say, make a copy, and it'll make a copy right in your own Google Docs. And then you can modify that one for, you know, how you want it to be.
Hey, Barry, I have a question.
Yep.
And maybe I'm spacing out here, but I think that for time management, and this might have been what Sarah was talking about, but you had a link to some sort of software or program that
we could Action Enforcer.
And I noticed that it said it only went up to Windows 7.
Yeah, it's an old piece. I should pull that link down.
Okay.
Because I use a program called Rescue Time.
Yep.
And it monitors every minute that I spend on my computer and phone, and so it can tell me, and it also categorizes them and lets me also tweak those, like, for example, YouTube might be entertainment, even though sometimes it's educational, but mostly it's entertainment.
Yeah, I'll pull that Action Enforcer link down. Honestly, that's old.
Okay.
I have it somewhere. But, you know, since the advent of these things, there are amazing apps for time management. My favorite one is right over there. You know, that's my favorite one in the morning. I come down and just write on my whiteboard, like, what I'm doing today. You know, I just, and I knock it out. So it's a very old school and manual, but I kick over to that thing, and here's my swinging for the fences. And here's my money-making activities to do today. So.
And what is swinging for the fences?
That's stuff that my caption under swinging for the fences is stuff I have no right doing. You know, it's like stuff you'd like to do, but some voice in your head says, dude, you're not big enough for that. You know, they don't want you, you know. It's Sarah's first thought when she thought about the Massachusetts Women's Conference, you know. I got no right here. But that's the swinging for the fences. That's the time she spends that day applying for it.
Cool.
Hey, Barry, I got to go. Thank you so
All
much,
right, everyone. I think for the health of everyone, I should check out now.
Okay.
Can I ask one question about the swinging for the fences?
All right. Yeah, there you go. And whoever's got to check out, thanks so much
for being here. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. See you later.
Catch the last thing if you want on replay. And bye, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked before about only, you know, putting yourself out there for things that you can actually do. Have you ever put yourself in a situation like, whoa, I am in over my head on this?
Yes. And what the swinging for the fences entails is not me the one telling myself that. I'm happy to have someone else tell me that. And I think that's probably the big distinction there is I remove that, the right of me to tell myself that when I'm playing swing for the fences. If I apply for something, they say, hey, you're not what we're looking for. Wonderful. My success line happens when I hit send on the email, or when I make the phone call, or I do the LinkedIn connection. So yeah, I move that success line to where that's a great question, man. Really good. And I've been places where shit, I get there and I'm like, how I did this thing and I pitched this gig, and I have a video somewhere on Get More Corporate Gigs, I think, about it. It's me backstage with like my first Android phone, because that's when it was. It was way back there, and I'm backstage, and every single Walmart manager in the country is in the audience, 6,500 of them. And it happened by finding out that this production company, Mark Felix Productions, that I've done shows for, was putting together through some research that I was doing. I was like, man, do all these managers meet somewhere? And I saw it was produced by Mark Felix Productions. And I write to my contact there and I go, man, I don't know, but we have put together our entire act. When our luggage didn't appear, FedEx blew it. The only time FedEx ever blew it, didn't get our trunk to a show on time. We went to a Walmart store and I started at one end of the store. My partner started at the other and we worked the aisles and we met in the middle. And whatever we had in our two carts, we did our show in that night. And I told that story to this guy who was producing the Walmart event and he hired us. And we were on stage in front of 6,500 Walmart managers. And we opened with that story about how amazing it was. We put together an hour show from the stuff that was on your aisles. And it was probably one of the most fun shows I ever had. But, you know, standing ovation. And then we did our show because we had all our stuff. And it was cool. But that was a time where I went, holy shit, I'm in front of the 6,500 Walmart managers because of some crazy idea I had. So, yeah, man, don't let welcome it when they tell you you're not ready. But, boy, you're perfectly poised. As I was talking to Greg earlier, though, Tim, all the experience you've had in front of school kids, you're so overqualified to talk to a teacher's conference. It's not even in the same realm. I mean, really, you've been in front of, I mean, safe to say 100,000 kids. I mean, safe to say 500,000. I don't know the number. But, you know, that's a lot of learning.
But Barry, isn't that the one thing I know that gets me off is when it's bigger than what I ever thought I could do. That really gets that forces you to step up and belly up to the bar and do what you thought you could never possibly do. And that's what makes it exciting. You know, I know when I go into any kind of a room to do magic for somebody, I already know what's going to happen. They're going to love it. Right. Finished. End of story. But what I really want is to get on the stage, like, for example, in front of 20,000, 30,000, 50,000 people and really get a little bit of adrenaline pumping because you don't know that, you know, you don't know what you are capable of doing. You're capable of doing far more than you ever dreamed possible. Absolutely. That's the truth.
Bye, Sarah. Oh, she's got to run. I know she said goodbye. Yes, absolutely. And I know the room you're talking about, and they're still in existence. They're called Amway meetings. And I performed at a dozen of those. And I tell you, David, they're the highest adrenaline shows of my life. I did one at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta for 60,000 people. No one sits down for 3 days. And they, you know, I went on after Barbara Bush. I mean, this, I'll bookmark myself when this gig was, but you know, I went on after Barbara Bush, after she was first lady, and right before Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. An hour, you know, and that's nuts. And those are big, but that happened from some other small event I was at. The guy who owned this, he was the top chair. I forget his name. Man, he was, now I'll remember it. If I look up Amway in my phone, he'll be there. But yeah, he was the top grand poopah of this, and you know, 60,000 people in his chain under him. He rent out the Georgia Dome for 5 days and had speakers and comedy and shows. And yeah, that's when the blood starts going, oh my God, here we are. You know, and we all have that different level for each of our careers. So I'll just offer that. So, well, good. All right, guys, I'm going to transfer this over at this point to checking out, you know, any one thing you got from today, you want to go public, kind of just saying, I'm going to take action on this, grab the mic and do it. And I'd love to just hear those on the way out. And then we'll move the conversation further into our private group and stay with the homeworks, stay with the modules that come out when they come out Saturday, I think, early Saturday. And then the homeworks that come out, we've got that all straightened out with Betsy and those are available now. So, and trust the process. Really, I know where this is going, and I love seeing what you guys are already doing. It's inspiring as hell. So, good. Anyone want to check out with something they've taken away and something they want to go public with saying they're going to take action on?
Yeah, I mean, Barry, it's Josh. I'm going to have a whole list of just different events throughout the end of the year that I can start forming, you know, the proposal and stuff like that we get to it, just to get that list together of all these different events that I can do in the payment industry or visual effects industry, because I know they have a ton, and just get that going, just get that list first going by the end of this week.
I love it, man. And just so we're not spending our time doing this, if you don't want to, if you're a person who's in a position who has more time than money, that is the textbook, what Joshua just said, is the textbook gig that you can assign to someone who works through Upwork.com, usually has at least a bachelor's degree and sometimes a master's degree, live in the Philippines. You bless their life. I don't know how you feel about outsourcing that kind of work. There's people on both sides of the fence around that. But that's the kind of gig that I would lay out real clearly in a Snagit video, a screen capture video. A great program called Jing, J-I-N-G, is a free one. You can get one called Snagit that costs $25 to buy one time. And you can just record it and say, hey, I'm looking for all the events in the payment industry, payment gateway industry, call center, whatever, you know, whatever those words are. I'm looking for all the events. Here's a Google Doc. Fill it out with the date, the time, the city, the person who's in charge, and any comments you have. You wake up in the morning and you've spent about $14 and you have a full spreadsheet fully blown out. That's not kind of work that I want to see any of us doing on our own unless we love that kind of work.
What is that website again? Because that's Upwork? Okay, Upwork. I'm definitely doing that.
Yeah, Upwork.com. Set up an account on this. It's right here. It looks like this. You just register as a...
Hey, cool.
And then just look for develop for, and you would just type in here research, internet research.
Wow.
And research.
Would you use that?
What's that?
Would you use something like Upwork for telemarketing or making cold calls?
And you know, for something like that, I would probably use what's this? For something like this, I would probably use I didn't even know Upwork knew my mother's maiden name. There you go. Yeah, job openings. But if I'm going to look for someone, find freelancers, I'm just going to go online research, and I've used a lot of these people. So
you would agree then that, I mean, I've wondered whether there's a difference between me, you know, selling my show over the phone or somebody else. Would somebody think, why isn't he calling, or why are you calling and not the entertainer himself?
Yep. So yeah, I definitely get into that. We get into that. I don't want to go into that one. That's a whole can of worms we can go into. We will go into soon on a live Q&A and in a module. But that's personal preference. I tell you, for me, I never went from the position of why is he calling. I always went from I positioned myself as this person's going to be blown away that I'm talking to them because I don't enter, you know, I don't do the mass stuff. But for stuff like this, oh my gosh, I would wake up in the morning and have the whole spreadsheet already filled out by someone who's, and don't let these numbers fool you. If someone's, all these people are coming up in America, they're going to be $95 an hour. This is not who you're looking for this thing. I go under here on my past hires for this kind of thing. You know, any of these people have done amazing work for me. I keep them in my thing, but these are all just research speakers bureaus with medical focus. I've done it for some, when I was targeting medical events, book layouts for a Facebook presence. When I was doing the 30 days sugar free, I would use this young lady just kicked ass for me and finding websites that were perfect for my sugar free movement. So yeah, a lot of freelancers. So anyway, that came up from what Joshua was saying of having a list. So I'd love for you to have a list, and I'd love a time bound date on it that you're going to do that by. And I'd love to know that unless you loved every single minute of it, you weren't the guy doing it.
No, I'm going to upsell. I mean, as soon as I'm done with this thing, I'm getting this taken care of by somebody else.
Awesome.
I mean, I love it, but why would I waste the time on it? I have other stuff I could be working on. So
there's this little thing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, one more thing. There's just this little thing that lives in the corner of my screen here, and it pops out whenever I hover over it, and this is Snagit, so I can grab this thing. I can make a screen capture. So really what I would do is find my person, go to Google, switch to the images, just like I showed you how to do. And just say, I want the information on all these conferences that are at least 3 months away. And boom, here's a link to the Google Doc. Build this thing for me. And in the morning, I'll have it done. So.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome. Good. Who was that said, can I ask a question?
Can I ask one totally unrelated thing?
Yeah.
In the research there, the resources part of the website, you put up Margo Talent. You always put up. Yeah. Would you recommend that? I use GetResponse. I've been using GetResponse the last 1.5 years. And I actually wondered what to do in Mago Talent 2 years ago when they came out, the new version in 2016. And I just signed up for it because I know it's better than what I've been using. But Yeah, any particular reason you put it out there so early? You know, you want us to just get right on it, or?
Yeah, you know, I put it out there because there's a lot of education in that training. You can watch that, and Michael teaches a whole bunch about automation. So yeah, I made it available. And the truth is, it's good to have something in place. I love Mongo Talent. You know, it does all the stuff that you'd want an automation program to do. And the creator of it's an entertainer, is a brilliant programmer and entertainer. So yeah, he knows what he's doing, and he's instant to respond. He's a Showbiz Blueprint alumni. So, I mean, I love sharing what people are doing who are members of this community. So yeah, it's a powerful program. And what you can do from what Joshua was talking about, having created this spreadsheet, you could then do the initial stages of contact. And when they're valid leads, boom, bring them into Mongo. They get sent the thing. When they respond or they open an email, they get the next thing. So automation is big. You know, we're going to be using it because we're playing in the numbers game here.
Super. Yeah, I will just sign up for the next year. So
awesome, man. Yeah, Michael's a great guy too. I'll get him on at some point during this. He'll come on live and do answer questions with us. He's a good one. So cool. Who else has something they want to take away and check out with?
I love the question. What if I fail at my biggest dream? What if I succeed at my biggest dreams? I don't have the answer. I don't want to ask it, but I love it. I'm going to spend some time on that.
Yeah. What if we succeed? Wow. That's an awesome one, man. I love that. Thanks. Okay. All right. I'm not one for twisting arms, but
I'll have a list. I'm working on a list of educational associations. Absolutely.
All right, man. You're building one for educational conferences.
You know what? It's funny. I wrote down because I wanted to put a time and a little bit more specific to make sure I could just have something that I could actually do a tick box on. So I had written down find 10 multi-day educational conferences by tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Awesome.
And then you mentioned the thing about Upwork, and I was just like, well, maybe set up an Upwork account and find someone who's willing to do that for me.
Way better use of time. And when you find someone who you can communicate with, you can give them a 2-minute screenshot and they do the work. It's like that becomes a partner in your business that, you know, it's a joke what it ends up costing. And that's textbook money-making activities, honestly. Like every minute that you spend doing that, that goes in your MMA stuff. That's not mixed martial arts, but money-making activities. Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, it's great. Bobby, how about you? Did you come up with something out of all this? Because I know there's a lot of words like magician thrown around, and like I want you to see that, you know, what you bring to the world is.
Yeah, my head is just kind of spinning. I'm kind of like a lot of people, I think. I'm trying to figure out what the best fit's going to be, what to attack first here. I like a lot of the stuff you said. I really like that you said position yourself as a connector. I like that, you know, talking about an appearance fee instead of an hourly fee. A lot of times people in the music thing want to break down an event. We got a 4-hour event. Now, how much is it if we do 3? How much do they keep beating you up? And I always just give them generally it's a price, and most of my things are scalable, but I like just hearing it reiterated, you know. And I think my thing here is trying to work on finalizing what it is I kind of want to go for. This thing about becoming a speaker, I'm trying to figure out how and where I would work that in, you know, to what I do, because I do a lot of different things, but to work this in with an educational thing and an educational guest artist appearance, I think might be something that would go hand in hand. And just trying to figure out what I would talk on. I mean, it could be an inspirational, motivational type of talk rather than so much of a technical talk. It could be something about the business of music. I've had a talent agency for 30 years, so I think I got a few things to pass down to kids in college. Wow. Things like that.
Yeah. So, you know, guest lecturer may be a great, the loudest guest lecturer you've ever heard or something. Yeah, I like the idea of that with the trumpet, you know, with the whole idea of that. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah, you certainly have the background to lean into that. So, yeah, so I'm holding you in my thoughts about how all this can apply. As I told you when we met privately, it's, there's places in this. It's going to be you kind of looking at the positioning, and I heard you already mentioned some of that, how you position yourself. And then also just the other part of it, the academic stuff, the stuff you do in academia. So positioning yourself that way to be able to bring a guest lecture, a masterclass that is unlike anything they've ever been able to have. That may be the piece to really look at in mm-hmm. this angle of it for you. So,
yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay, good.
I'll be working on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'll say one thing. I'm intrigued by the teacher conferences. You know, I also do school assemblies and have done them for a while now. And but the concept of how to use humor in the classroom and, things I've learned as a presenter, I don't know. But I noticed a lot of parent-teacher, in other words, like not conferences, when I just did a quick Google search came up, individual parent-teacher issues versus a national conference or a regional conference. So I got to sort of streamline my search.
Yeah, definitely put in national conference, national meeting, national convention, annual meeting, conference, convention.
Okay.
And then type in 2018 as well. But then there's a lot of power in looking in the past too. If you see one and you just wonder, wow, what kind of things they have, type in the same thing or that conference with 2016, 17. Take a look at their program from last year. You can see where the openings are.
Okay.
Cool. A bit of detective work. All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for showing up big today. This is what it's about. David, man, really good. We're in a good place with all this stuff. Amory, you were quiet the whole time. You getting some stuff? You're filling your head with college at the same time. So is this all right?
Yeah, well, I just got in I was actually in class until like 3, so I just popped in.
Awesome.
So my thing is I just got to watch this video.
Awesome, yeah.
Take some notes.
You'd be like, oh, dang, I would have said this there. Then just jump into the Facebook group and add it in. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys, thanks for a great day. I look forward to keep moving forward on this ship with you. It's a wonderful opportunity, and I'm glad we're all here together. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. It was awesome.
That was great, man. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.